Oh, no! Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, June 17, 2021. This is your award-winning Gimbal Nation Media Assassination, episode 1356.
This is No Agenda.
Translating Vlad and Joe, and broadcasting live from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the frontier of Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where I can't watch TV anymore, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Oh, do please tell me that you've had a ransomware attack on your local stations.
I wish.
What happened?
Nothing. I just got sick of it.
Oh, it's unwatchable.
I did the 3x3 this morning, and I didn't realize that it's impossible to deal with.
Well, are we still going to do one?
Yeah, I got it. Wait, hold on. Let me get
John, the other one. C4X3x3.
A variant. All right.
Yeah, I didn't notice. It's a back pocket envelope. Here it is.
Yeah, all right.
You can tell it's real because...
Yes, it's the real deal.
Makes that sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we started with ABC.
Yes.
And they were all going on and on and on about the legal twist with Erica Jane from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Amidst... a vaccination craze with people having adverse effects, the G7, all these things taking place, they are highlighting the woman from The Real Housewives?
Yes, the one that got tied up with this crooked lawyer.
I'm sorry, you're saying that like I should know what you're talking about, but I don't.
Yeah, well, believe me, I don't know either.
Okay, she's going to jail.
But this is all... I'll give you the background because I did kind of figure out what it is.
Okay.
There was a documentary on Hulu called The Housewife and the Hustler, which revealed this woman to be, I don't know,
a hustler?
Sketchy. I'm not sure. But all I know is the lawyers quit her.
Yeah.
And this became scandalous. And so she's got no lawyer and she's a blondie. And she's like, I don't know. It's just some dumb story.
Hey, that's a great backstory you just gave us.
And meanwhile, they clicked right out of that because I only caught half of that to a huge like bought and paid for promotion for travel to Oregon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's massive. It was a massive promotion for Oregon.
And that's what they're doing. Why
you should go there?
That's what they're doing with their COVID money. That's what they're doing with their COVID relief money.
Interesting, you'd say that because it's probably true.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, that's what the
one of the hostesses says, oh, I've got to go because I've never been to Oregon. What?
Oh, nice native touch. Had that in there. It's called the tagline, John, in advertising. And we'd like one of the hosts to tag it by saying how much he/he/they/them would like to go to Oregon. It's in the buy.
Well,
it's in the buy.
It's
in the buy.
So. Then I clicked over to CBS, and there's an old black woman on CBS, although I don't know how old she is, but she doesn't look, named Ursula Burns, and she's a book writer, and she just did a book called You Are Not Who You Are. No, Where You Are, Where You Are Is Not Who You Are.
Oh.
Bestseller written all over it. And she was bitching and moaning about voting rights and how they're trying to screw everybody.
Yeah.
The Republicans are out to screw everybody. And that was the message from CBS.
Well, they're racist. So that's racist, obvious. Racist Republicans.
So then the best one turns out to be NBC. Okay. Where they do I don't know how long this segment was. When I tuned in, it was going on. And when I tuned out, it was continuing. Jenna Bush, as a tribute to her granddad, and they had a big six box of all the people that were on the NBC Today show.
Is that
including
a
Hoda?
Sexto box?
Sex box.
Yeah.
And Hoda up in the corner crying. She's wiping tears from her eyes over this story. Jenna Bush went out with the Golden Knights of the U.S. Army and jumped out of an airplane to skydive in memory of the old man. Who used to, as you recall, skydive once
birthday.
A year on his birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
And today's his birthday.
Oh.
And so she jumps out of the plane with these guys and thanks them for saving her life. She screamed, apparently, most of the way. and made a comment, grabbing life and going for it was the old man saying, and all of them was lamenting George H.W. Bush is as though the greatest guy ever, because he was, I guess, the Republican who was the number one globalist. Mm-hmm. And that's just okay with NBC and Comcast, because we should all be part of some one world government. That's the way they see it. We should give up our sovereignties and become something else. And so this whole thing went on and on and on about the interview with Jenna, and she's going, oh, it was. And Jenna, by the way, has got a big, giant Barry Bonds size head. And so she's been pumping steroids.
Like a bobblehead type deal? Or
it's a big, giant head she's got all of a sudden.
Huh.
And well, I was, that's what I was kind of taking with that, looking at her head.
Is that one of these side effects from the Moderna or the Pfizer?
Well, it's known to be a side effect of steroid use.
Oh, interesting. Really? But, does she look pumped up?
No, not at all, except for the head. But it's beside the point at this point.
Well, big heads work better on TV. This is a fact.
Well, hers doesn't. So this was a big tribute to George H.W. on his birthday, and everybody was watching. They pumped in. The mom came in, whatever, I forgot, Laura Bush comes up. And Hoda's crying. Woo-hoo-hoo! And the whole thing was just disgusting.
Well, good report. Now, how sick did you feel after watching that, which sounds like at least 20 minutes of torture?
Oh, well, that's why I gave up on TV right there. Boom, there's your reason.
Unbelievable. Well, this is why people flock to the No Agenda show. Not only because they know that they're not going to get that drivel, they know that because they're the ones delivering the real information, producers worldwide. Yeah. And so the local news here, not a 3x3, but just to bring you up to speed on what's happening here in Texas.
The situation is so dire in Texas and California, power grid operators urging residents to conserve power to avoid rolling blackouts. In Texas, the alert coming just months after a winter storm left more than 100 people dead and millions without power for days.
Get ready. Get ready for the dummy Texans. They don't know how to handle their grid. Oh, no, they don't know. They're stupid. And our dude named Ben, protector of the gigawatts, he, of course, reaches out to me regularly when we get these types of situations, and I already know the drill. And the reason why we have stress on the grid in Texas, can you guess?
It's hot in Texas.
Yes, there's one other factor, though, with this heat.
It gets cold in Texas.
There's no wind. There's zero
wind power,
wind.
Then
20% less power because the wind power is not available. But then ERCOT has decided to set a cap once again. That's our grid operator, the exchange, which, just to remind you, the same with the COVID Snowmageddon. Snowmageddon is what I should call it. We didn't have to shut down for any other reason than greed. There's hedge funds trading this energy, and they have a lot of control based on the futures contracts they own. And if the price is not high enough, no one will start their gas-fired power plants because it takes about 6 hours. And let's say, you know, they can get $45. If it goes below 40, then they can't make money. They don't start it up. So if it's capped at that amount, which is now an artificial limitation,
yeah,
then they start rolling blackouts because they have to shed load. It is unconscionable. Yeah, they should get all of these a-hole. Only electricity producers should be on the grid, not all these jamokes. And you've got to think that the governor is somehow complicit at this point.
How can you not know
what's going on?
Well, the governor here, let's remember, in California, we're ahead of the curve on all this.
Yes, you guys are great.
25 years ago,
yeah,
we had our rolling blackouts when we had a Governor Gray Davis, a Republican, the first one of the hopefully many to be recalled. And he will hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Zephyr. Eight.
Eight?
Okay.
Eight? Well, hold on a second. Eight? Slow moving, fast moving, just eight?
Medium moving.
Ladies and gentlemen, alert Squawk Box over at CNBC. Who cares what the Fed says? It's all about the Zephyr Economic Report. We got eight cars and steady. Bitcoin at 38,731.
Oh, my God! Listen to that horn!
So Gray Davis was the governor during the Enron scam where they were giving us rolling blackouts. And I can still dig up old news articles from that era saying, oh, we have to put up with this forever because we're using too much energy. California is going to be forever burdened with this because we use too much energy. We don't know how to save energy. And right. It's going to be blackouts forever. And that was the governor got kicked out of office because of this.
And that was Enron. And it's on tape. You can hear them just pulling the plug just to mess with people for the price. It's the smartest guys in the room is the name of the,
yeah,
the
film. Where were they based anyway?
Texas? Dallas?
Texas?
Yeah, Dallas or Houston. I can't remember. Yeah.
And all those guys that worked there and learned that scam game, they all never spread went away. Out after the...
They never went away.
They never went away. They just spread out. Now they're all over the place. It's almost like, you know, one of those monster movies where you kill the monster and it splits into 10.
And what's even weird, I don't have a clip, unfortunately, but I was in the car listening. And, you know, they'd have reports that went, unexplicably, several gas or natural gas plants are not online. Inexplicably. Bleh. So they're not even doing any of the work. I text one dude named Ben. His name is Ben. He texts me back. Hey, what's going on? If I said, give me an overview of the grid, he could give me that. Anything. It's just a lie and it's incompetence. But it's, that's what they're going to try and do. It'll probably go out. We'll have some rolling blackouts.
Bullshit the public. That's what the media does. The media is really in such bad shape at this point. They can't even ask a simple question of the right person. They've never, what happened, I've felt this way for a long time. Since probably the 70s, is that once the media became professionalized by the Columbia Journalism School and some other places, and they got to the point, because in the olden days, if you were media, you learned the hard way by being in the business. You'd be a police reporter. You'd be at the police station.
You'd get a shit beat.
You'd be, but you'd learn about crime and you'd learn about the city from this police perspective and from some real perspective by actually working it. It was the same thing with tech writing. If you had some interest in computers, you would, in fact, it was ill. They would not even hire you at Aviation Week if you didn't have a pilot's license.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
You couldn't write for us. You can't write for us. You haven't got that all changed with the professionals coming in. Well, you can learn. You don't need to know everything about a computer to write about computers. You don't need to know about airplanes by having a pilot. So what's a pilot's license got to do with reporting and all that sort of thing?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. That's interesting you bring that up. I wasn't planning on doing this now, but the clips are short enough. We had an interesting thing happen on a local Fox station in Houston just the other day here in Texas.
Outages across the region. Fox 26 reporter Ivory Hecker is live in Montgomery County to take a look at that aspect.
Thanks, guys. That's right. Before we get to that story, I want to let you, the viewers, know that Fox Corp has been muzzling me to keep certain information from you, the viewers. And from what I'm gathering, I am not the only reporter being subjected to this. I am going to be releasing some recordings about what goes on behind the scenes at Fox because it applies to you, the viewers. I found a nonprofit journalism group called Project Veritas. It's going to help put that out tomorrow, so tune into them. But as for this heat wave across Texas, you can see what it's doing.
That was so slick. And right back to the report about the heat wave.
So this weather girl is all bent out of shape about something. I went to Veritas yesterday. I found nothing there about it.
Now, and this is what's sad because I don't know what happened, but it's a typical Veritas. They never quite get it right, and then it goes nowhere. Now, in this case, they had reasonable recordings, but they didn't have her up on the homepage. Of course, they're no longer on social media. They're long gone from that. So they weren't getting any juice. And finally, something appeared, and I'm going to play the first 57 seconds of it. It has the three pertinent clips in it of her editor bawling her out for everything she's doing wrong.
Fox came at my throat for standing up against censorship.
In my opinion, you failed as a reporter.
From the inside, yes, there's a narrative. Yes, it is unspoken, but if you accidentally step outside the narrative, if you don't sense what that narrative is and go with it, there will be grave consequences for you.
It's not just about the viewers. It's about what our CEO reads.
Now, you probably can't hear that, but her editor is saying on a Zoom call, the stories. It's about what our CEO reads. It's about what our owners read. That's the stories.
It's about the viewers. It's about what our CEO reads. It's about what our GM reads.
Well, my question is very simple. Why are you doing this?
It affects the viewers. That's why I'm doing this. The viewers are being deceived by a carefully crafted narrative in some stories.
I didn't pass on Bitcoin stories. African-American audience at 5 is probably not going to play. That's a choice I'm making, an editorial choice.
That seems sort of a racially charged statement to make.
I want out of this narrative news telling. I want out of this corruption.
I love that. Poor African-Americans, they don't care about Bitcoin. Wow. Way to go, lady. You should check out the Bitcoin community or Bitcoin in Black America. Interesting book. You might change your mind. Brave of this girl. She's young, so you know, she's out of a job, of course. And who knows what would become of her.
But I still don't get it. She's the weather girl. What was it that, what narrative was she trying to promote?
I think she did human interest stories.
Okay, so she wasn't just
the weather girl. No. It was human interest stories on location, that kind of stuff. And so she's getting bitched out.
And now, she's right, but a couple of things I'll mention. She's right about you have to, this is true in all the newspapers and all the new radio, TV. You have, she said it kind of, and she said it well, but it didn't stand out, which was you have to kind of sense, if you're a reporter, you have to sense what the structure is, what they expect, what kind of stories they expect you to do and not do.
Yeah.
Because they never tell you.
No, that's the vibe in the newsroom, I presume.
Yes, it's kind of the last guy who wrote about that got fired.
that's the vibe. That guy, never heard from him again. Go ahead, do that story.
We can't really do we work at ABC. We can't really do an in-depth report on bad labor practices at Disney, for example.
Right. Yes. Yes.
You wouldn't even have to ask anybody.
And I think everyone knows coming in that anti-pharma stories are not done.
Well, that's probably the example of the guy got fired.
Yeah.
And
Well,
so there is that element, and it's so unspoken. It's interesting to me because I was interviewed by an ex-New York Times editor who did a video series. It's somewhere online. I don't even know where. But different people like myself, and it came up in the conversation. I said that, and I'm remiss for not remembering his name. And I said something along the lines of, well, a lot of reporters won't cover something because they know they'll probably get fired or they just, it's verboten.
Mm-hmm.
And he said with a straight face, and I think he was sincere, he says, well, if I knew a reporter was thinking like that, they'd be out the door.
Who was this?
Oh, there's one of the ex, he's a famous ex-editor of the New York Times.
Wow.
And he's actually told me that, and I think it's on the tape, maybe not. But when he told me that, I said, what?
You have tapes?
And I had to go back and call. I called all the people I knew that used to work at worked at the New York Times, and he said, this guy's full of shit. Of course you don't do certain stories. You just don't do them.
You have him on tape, you said?
No, he taped me.
Oh. Was his name Epstein?
He was never an editor in the New York Times.
Might as well
have been. He was sincere. He says, I wouldn't put up with that. And I'm thinking, what kind of world are you living in? I think there's some naive thinking going on at different levels because of this so-called professionalism bullcrap that doesn't work.
Well, you've led me down an interesting path to get into our top stories today. First one I'd like to play is a clip that someone sent me, not Mo. You'd think this would come from Mo. Malcolm X talking about the media. This has to be, oh my gosh, what is that? What year would this have to be? 60s. 65 something, maybe earlier than that? No, it has to be earlier.
Anytime during the 60s was all the same.
Listen to what he says.
Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. the majority of the American people aren't segregationists, that the majority of the American people aren't imperialists, but the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, what? How then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are, and how this they are, and how that they are.
And how those words hold true today, where they've taken over television, they've taken over radio, and there is some form of anti-American revolution underway. And that brings me right into three short clips from Eric Clapton, who we know that he teamed up with Van Morrison, and that he had a severe adverse reaction to his, I think he got AstraZeneca. He couldn't even play guitar. You know, this is big. And the guys,
I don't know this.
Well, we talked about
this. This was repressed information.
Well, of course. And so besides what happened to him physically, what happened to him socially is really the story. And here he is talking about how he was really looking for anyone to support him in this quest, because he had this severe reaction, the doctor saying, shut up, it's nothing, it's not the shot, and he was just looking for somebody.
He was on Telegram.
Just a coincidence.
I'm saying, no, well, this is a typical story, though.
He was on Telegram, so I contacted him, and he told me about a channel, and so I logged on to that. There's a chap called Robin Minotti who runs a channel, and it's for anybody that's concerned or is looking for, in my case, looking for support. For me, I'd felt so alone up until that point. I really couldn't talk to my family and my kids. My teenagers were, it seemed like they'd been brainwashed. And there was a lot of that kind of going on from other protests that were happening earlier. They were really, it was the first time I'd seen my kids passionate about anything. And I thought it was great, but I was being ostracized. And I could feel that everywhere. I could feel alienation because I held a different view. So I was trying to keep my mouth shut, but I was following the channel avidly, and bit by bit I realized that I probably shouldn't have had the first jab, but then I was offered the second, and I thought, well, what have I got? What's the point in, you know, stopping now? So I went and had the second, and then it got really bad. And within about a week, I had lost, my hands didn't really work.
So, Eric Clapton, wow. Legend, has written many fabulous songs. Lest Us Not Forget, when his son fell out of the window, he wrote Tears in Heaven, which was, you know, to this day is still a very emotional record. This man is not a douchebag. He's not an idiot. Of course, he also wrote Layla. And he went through quite a scary period.
You know, I've caught this anxiety syndrome. I have it bad, and I have it as bad as I had maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was devoutly following the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock news or talk radio or trying to find someone who's speaking a language that I can identify with. But now I've stopped watching TV. One of the cartoons was a little drawing of a guy interviewing two Quakers and saying, how come none of your community has got COVID? And they said, well, we don't watch TV. It's so true, man. There's so much of the sickness is in our heads now. We become weak.
Yes. And there it is. This is the success to our show, because we just laugh at everything. But now he brings it all the way home in a beautiful way.
If we're talking about freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice with the vaccine, for instance, then the opposite of that is what we're experiencing. If you take that away, what we're experiencing that disturbs me most is coercion. It's that, and to see celebrities, especially what really got me was ethnic minority celebrities guilt-tripping their own community. That broke my fucking heart. It made me so angry. I have a lot of friends in that part of the world, and to see them parade on like that, that's where it steps into sadism for me, the photographs of the people on buses with masks on saying, don't let their sacrifice be in vain. Phew, that's bad.
Exactly. And preying on the poorest communities once again. Yeah. And so, yeah, you will not hear that anywhere else. I don't even know if it's still on YouTube at all.
Probably not.
And I'm expecting this to be disappeared from YouTube. Would you one more adverse reaction clip from our buddy Jimmy Dore, who we've been following? Jimmy Dore, definitely not a Trump supporter. So he takes an enormous risk. Not a Republican, so he can't be racist. But boy, is he a complainer.
I'm still suffering from the effects of the COVID vaccine. I had the Moderna, and I had my second shot on April 17th. So now it's June, 9th today? So I have stiff neck. My stiff neck is not going away. It's sore. I still have flu-like symptoms. So meaning body aches, joint pains, and tiredness that comes in waves. So when I wake up in the morning, I feel mostly normal. But then in about an hour or two, I start feeling, how you feel body aches. I start feeling it in my knees when I go up and down the stairs. My neck, always, when I wake up, my neck is always. And so now I'm working with, by the way, I went to my primary physician. She says, yeah, I'm treating five people who have exactly like you. One of them is a neurologist. One of them is a nurse. And they were afraid to talk about their symptoms because they didn't want to be stigmatized and ostracized, because that's the culture we're living in now. You can't step out. Now, if I criticize Dr. Fauci, they'll call me a Trumper. So that's the world we're living in. My cardiologist, when I went in, I told him I was feeling, I wanted to check my heart and make sure I didn't have inflammation in my heart, which I go in tomorrow for the follow-up and find out. And I told him about, this is from the vaccine I've been having. And he just shook his head. He goes, man, I'm seeing lots of bad reactions to this vaccine, everybody. Like that. That's what my cardiologist said. I then have another doctor who's on the forefront of treating people like me who are having side effects from the vaccine. Now, what is this going on 2 months after? Has not stopped. And he tells me there's thousands and thousands of people like me.
So I have a note from one of our producers just to add to the misery. I have to report a direct experience with the Moderna jab. My mother-in-law, who is 80, was insistent on getting the jab. Despite our constantly trying to get her to unplug the CNN IV drip, she was convinced that it was important to get and safe. She wrote off my opinion as fringe tinfoil hat nut job and just assumed that my wife was doing what I had told her to do and not getting the jab for our family. Despite our feelings, my mother-in-law got both jabs. A few days after the second jab, she had lost her balance, fell down a couple of steps, and fractured her arm. Now, of course, we don't know if this was related to the jab or just an unfortunate run-in with the stairs, but this was just the beginning of the decline. We've noticed a huge amount of confusion and what appeared to be instant onset Alzheimer's. She has trouble knowing what day it is, where she is, what medicine she should be taking at what time. She's left very erratic voicemails, acting as though she has no idea who we are. All of this kicked off right after the second jab. Yesterday, my wife took her to a doctor's appointment to try and figure out what's going on. The response was not only unexpected, but quite shocking. The doctor said he has a large number of his elderly patients who have had the Moderna jab have this almost instantaneous cognitive decline, more the norm than the exception. He further stated they are not allowed to talk about it for fear of being kicked out of the health network they are in, and feel if they do talk about it, they might run the risk of having their medical license pulled. He further said they don't know of any counteractive treatment at the moment and are not sure if this is permanent damage. He is even hesitant to file a VAERS report due to the stigma attached with a doctor that, quote, complains. This is a problem, Houston.
Wow. Wow.
That is really
great stuff.
Awesome. Awesome sauce.
Awesome.
Awesome sauce.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you got the goods today. I'm giving you that.
Let's do.
Well, I'm going to bring one more up. I don't have clips.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, because people can go get these clips. They're going to be around for a while. And it's on the No Agenda Net social network. Mm-hmm. So John Stewart goes, unless you have John Stewart.
I have the clips.
Okay.
Well, I have the clips.
I'll set it up.
Okay, set it up.
John Stewart goes on the Colbert show, just the chit-chat, and Colbert, and this was really, the clips I would have gotten are probably not the ones you got. The clips I would have gotten are Colbert kind of pushing back, and then Colbert saying, well, maybe we'll have to edit this out, and Colbert ending the segment saying, well, let's see what ends up being finally broadcast, and in a jocular manner, but at the same time, it was pretty apparent that nobody was happy with what John Stewart had to say. Hmm. And John Stewart said it very humorously.
He
did it very humorously, and he tried to be as light as he could in his normal sarcastic manner. And I think it was quite the segment to see. And I think that Colbert is concerned. I'm sure it's just the way, some of you'll run into this if you have strong opinions about this. People start being concerned about your mental health. I'm sure Colbert is very concerned about Jon Stewart's mental health.
I'm going to approach this from a different direction. I know Jon Stewart. I know him quite well, at least way before the Comedy Central show, when it was still the Jon Stewart show on MTV. He is an operative for the Democratic Party. I think that's just look at his work. Although he has Republican tendencies when it comes to getting screwed out of his money, I think that he was sent in to soften the blow of the changing of the narrative, because it's we're finding out, holy crap, this did come from a lab. There's a lot of evidence for it. Somehow that narrative changed on a dime for whatever reason, was still not entirely clear. And this needed to be brought to the masses in a softer way so that we can all accept it, because we're not going to accept it from Ron Johnson. And it is my belief that, although not scripted per se, this was prearranged and Colbert was waiting for it. And all that pushback is all part of his end of the deal, just to make it look like it was authentic.
I would say that's a possibility.
So,
but I watched it carefully.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I'll express is, I'll put it in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Colbert is not a comedian. He says it every once in a while. He makes sure to bring it up. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always said that even when he was doing the anti-Trump stuff, he'll back off and say, I'm just an actor. He'll mutter it under his breath with his, with his hands, the palms facing upward, and his the coy look and the kind of smirk, and he said, I'm just an actor. And he'll say that every once in a while, because he's a trained and very good. He can do Broadway. He's done a lot. He did Law and Order, a couple of episodes I've seen, where he plays a psycho. He's a good actor, and it's possible. I would premise it by saying it's possible that he's just such a good actor. He pulled it. When I watched it, I thought he was sincere. He was laughing at Stewart in a funny way, but he felt uncomfortable. And I think I don't think this was acting. It's possible it was, but I don't believe he was part of it. I think Stewart just came in and did this bit, and I don't think that Colbert was read in.
Jon Stewart does not appear unless it's for a big reason. It's towers and tunnels, for the payments for the first responders. That's really the last time we saw him come out really, really big. He doesn't come out big for something like this. And was there any other message he had? Was he promoting anything? Was there anything that said Biden good? I don't recall.
No.
He was all about this. Well, and of course, I can be wrong. This is my impression.
I would say I'm going to give you half of it. I'm not going to give you the Colbert side.
Okay. Well, let's have a listen. And sometimes audio only can change how you view something, because you can't view it.
How do you feel about the science now?
Well, so I will say this. I honestly mean this. I think.
So first of all, when you say I honestly mean this, doesn't that typically mean I'm about to tell you a lie?
Good point.
I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science.
Great joke. Well constructed. He had thought about that one. But his rationale is off because, well, we'll discuss it after the clip. It's short.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean perhaps there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask the scientists, they're like, how did this, so wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle.
Okay, that's not the name of the lab. That's just not the name of the lab.
No, he actually changes the name of the lab twice.
And that's really weak. And so that, you know, when I heard that, I'm like, why would you come out not having the facts straight and use that easily debunkable, although I've yet to hear anyone do it. I'm sorry?
There's photos. There's like a ton of photos of the front door of this lab
the internet. But it doesn't say...
It says Wuhan Virology.
Institute of Virology, yeah.
Yeah.
So he takes it all the way to SARS, which is just not true. I just felt that to be not very John Stewart-like. And then this was just, to me, was the final bit. Two guys, they know how to do it. They've worked together a lot. Colbert plays the dumb shit Republican, basically. And Stewart, the smart guy on the left. And they're going to wrap it up.
That could very well be. And Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH have said, like, it should definitely be investigated.
Don't stop with the logic and people and things. The name of the disease.
When you say stop with the logic and people and things, I mean, wow, that's got to be just made up.
With the logic and people and things. The name of the disease.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
The building.
Wait a second. But it could be possible. You could be right.
I'm going to hear that again. He actually says Fauci, and I guess John Stewart is also discrediting Fauci here. Let me just play that from the beginning.
That could very well be, and Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH have said, like, it should definitely be investigated.
Don't stop with the logic and people and things. The name of the disease.
Wait a second.
The building.
Wait a second. But it could be possible. You could be right. It could be possible that they have the lab in Wuhan to study the novel coronavirus diseases because in Wuhan, there are a lot of novel coronavirus diseases because of the bat population there.
I understand. This sounds to me exactly like they did this on a table read.
Yeah, same script. Okay, I'm going to give you 100% on the whole thing. Colbert's in on it. He's playing it to the point where he can deliver straight lines,
yeah.
Although they're modern straight lines. Are not the
well, he's good at that. He's good at that, though. That's what he does, straight.
Well, for his old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to do it for anyone. So he delivers the straight line about the bats. And so Stewart can come back with the comments about the bats in Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which he does.
Here we go.
Which I thought was interesting.
I got it here.
Novel coronavirus diseases because in Wuhan, there are a lot of novel coronavirus diseases because of the bat population there.
I understand.
It's like the same.
It's
like,
a local specialty, and it's the only place to find bats. You won't find bats anywhere else. Austin, Texas has thousands of them that fly out of a cave every night. Every night at dusk. Is there a coronavirus in Austin coronavirus? No, it doesn't seem to be an Austin coronavirus. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan Novel Coronavirus Lab.
I believe that's the case.
And now, how long have you worked for Senator Ron Johnson?
That may have been an ad lib, that one at the end that Colbert just threw in just to make himself feel better about it. But come on, they're countering the narrative with exactly what someone said. Stewart comes back. By the way, it's hundreds of thousands and they're under a bridge, but okay. And the crazy bat lady also did some experimentation on them at UT in Austin, but never mind that. That was gamed out. So something is up. Something is up.
Well, we've spotted this backing off thing
a while ago.
When it first began, but it's been a little slower that progress, I think, than we've hoped for.
Well, it keeps us occupied. That's That's good.
But I'll get this is good. This is why there's two of us.
Yeah, of course.
I think that interpretation was spot on. It's exactly what was going on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just throw the back. I prefaced my thing that Colbert's an actor, and here he is. He is acting the whole thing.
He even got the Wuhan SARS.
Except for that, you might be right about the ad lib, but even then, yeah. A good actor, it may have been in the script.
He even had the full name right at the end. Oh, you mean the Wuhan SARS coronavirus lab? He had all that. Anyway,
yeah. It was a scam.
And in the same token, you've got Bill Maher doing the same, softening the blow. He's really soft. I don't have clips, but he's softening the blow for woke culture. You know, talking back a lot against the squad and just wokeness in general. And he's getting tepid applause. But, you know, I think he's certainly a Democratic operator.
I love the
operator.
Tepid applause.
Yeah.
Well, when your audience is all in on the bullshit.
Yeah.
And you've got to turn them back because it's harming them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy about it. And that a tepid applause would be expected. The audience does not like to be, they don't like to, they just as soon be, I mean, they're like it's like a mob, a lynch mob. You know,
they'll turn on a dime.
And you can't, to talk them down, it's not easy. And you're going to get tepid applause and grumbling. And that's what Maher is getting.
So now we have to spread this out. Where do you want to go? Well, you would want to go to any of those shows that you watched this morning, some entertainment, or you can go straight to TMZ. And that's where we find Dr. Peter Hotez.
Your take on what Jon Stewart said, because I know there have been a lot of people in your field who are upset about this. Curious how you feel.
Here's what we know. We know that there's been the COVID-19 is the third major coronavirus epidemic pandemic of the 21st century. We had SARS that arose out of southern China and Guangdong province in 2002. We had Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome in the Arabian Peninsula in 2012. We know that there's a confluence of those forces coming out of central and southern China because of the high population density, all of the animal reservoir hosts in the wild, including bats and livestock.
And that's the Colbert argument.
Water birds, and so all of that comes together in a perfect mix to explain why we see a lot of viruses arise out of China. So you have to postulate that it came out of a laboratory doesn't hold water. And in fact, the reason why there are multiple laboratories devoted to coronaviruses across China is because they know China's vulnerable. So right now, the reality is there is no smoking gun to say that it's of laboratory origin, either accidental or deliberate. It's not impossible, but what I've been calling for and many of us have been calling for is we do need to know the origins of COVID.
So he really didn't address much there, and I had no idea why TMZ thought he would be good except for the stupid bow tie. Maybe they thought he's the Bill Nye science guy of COVID, Hotep Hotez, and he finished it up with this.
So your issue is that Jon Stewart and others who are embracing this theory are just jumping the gun. It's not that it's not possible. You're just saying they're jumping the gun and saying this without the evidence.
That's right. And they're putting the entertainment value of this over and above what's reality. And it causes a lot of damage because a number of scientists who work on coronaviruses, including myself, feel that we're being under attack right now.
Ah.
The scientific community's open to the idea that what I object to is the fact that they make it sound like it's a fait accompli, when in fact it's the less likely hypothesis of how COVID-19 originated, and it's tone deaf to the collateral damage that it has on scientists and the scientific community.
Jon Stewart pissing off the scientists with bow ties.
Interesting.
Let's do a little incentives update. Clips.
A couple of things we should mention here.
Sure.
First of all, there's still no explanation for the HIV gene sequence in this virus. Which was pointed out in the early days. This was like the main reason they thought it was lab created was mm-hmm. this what's the sequence doing in here? It doesn't make any sense. And then the French guy, the Nobel Prize winning medicine French guy, said it's obvious to him when he looked at the sequence. And I believe he's one of those guys who can just look at things and see them. I mean, I've discussed this before. There are people, you're one of them. You can, you know, with sound, you have a certain kind of a natural abilities that people, normal people don't have. And this guy made mention of the HIV sequence, thinking they're maybe looking for some sort of a playing. They think they were playing around with ideas of getting HIV vaccine developed because it's impossible to penetrate the shells of this, whatever the HIV virus looks like. They have to find some tricky way to get.
They were maybe trying to go for a twofer.
So they're trying to work some kind of a mechanism out that might be something you can inject somebody with a new technology, then it would get it. It would create the antibodies. But that's been dropped from the conversation, the whole HIV thing.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well when they made the vaccine in Australia and people tested positive for HIV. And so they stopped talking about that.
That's another little item that was dropped.
Let me see. That was a short clip, too.
Yeah, Dad, I forgot all about that. That's even another. So it's fall. The wheels are coming off the cart, but they're not coming off as fast as we'd hoped.
Here we go. Was this it? Maybe. Let me see if this was the one. No, that's not it. They are still trying to get us jacked up on incentives. You know, the whole world is doing incentives. And I think that Paraguay, if you want to quote unquote incentivize people to get vaccinated, these guys got it figured out.
In Paraguay, huge lines have formed at vaccination centers. The take-up there may be driven in part by the health ministry's deciding to publish on its website the name of every person who gets a shot.
Talk about a list. Let me just see if you're on. Oh, you're not on the list. You haven't been vaccinated yet. Mm-hmm. No wonder people are lining up. I don't know.
I think in the United States, it would have the opposite effect. I think you don't want to be on a list.
Well, but Paraguay is not known for treating its citizens that nicely. So maybe that's something to do with it. And then I have an ad from the radio, one of those creepy ones that'll go in the pandemic movie. This is from Michigan.
We asked people in Michigan why they got the COVID-19 vaccine.
Because I am pregnant and we wanted to protect our baby boy.
I believe in the science.
Protect my friends and help our community.
I'm ready to get back to somewhat normal.
I want to hug my grandma again.
COVID-19 vaccines are tested for safety and trusted by doctors. Find a vaccine near you at michigan.gov/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
Ah, that $2 billion is being spent well.
Worst clip ever.
Okay.
Couldn't hear a word he said.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
It's just, and the music was too loud. It was a very poorly balanced clip.
I'll try and make up for it. These are my last COVID clips. As we move towards the passports and receiving our freedoms back. And we first go to, what is this, Wisconsin, and a little update, which may even, let me see if this includes, let's see.
Vaccine passports remain polarizing. 15 states have banned them, but rules for businesses vary. In Wisconsin, this children's museum requires proof of vaccination or wear a mask. An angry state lawmaker leaned into this hot take on history. The Gestapo wants to see your papers, please.
No business has a right to your medical information, and I stand by it.
Under a new Texas law, businesses that require proof of vaccination can be denied state contracts. Still, Methodist Hospital in Houston suspended dozens of nurses after they refused to get vaccinated. A federal judge sided with the hospital this weekend.
Not exactly the same thing, but okay. I like how they bundled it all together.
Yeah, that was a mishmash.
Yeah, it was. Western Australia, you'll recall all of the kingdom of the United Kingdom related countries, I believe, are all using the tracking QR code. So when you go into a bar or a restaurant or a supermarket or, you know, the local store, whatever it is, you are supposed to use the Australia Health app to scan the QR code so that they know that you're there, and well, they know you're there because it sends GPS data, but that you have actually registered and you're all good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, by the way, very handy when they pass that data on to the insurance companies and they discover you've been in a bar too much and your insurance rates go up.
That's not all. They promised that this would never be used for anything but contact tracing. Well, when the government promises you, then this could happen.
In Western Australia, police used the scan-in app that you use when you go to pubs, clubs, and all the rest of it, the Safe WA app, which is supposed to be for contact tracing. They used it to find criminals. Now, do I have a problem with criminals being locked up? No. But remember, they told us this is definitely not a tracking app. This is information that cannot be handed to anyone. Nobody else can see where you have been for dinner. This information magically disappears after a couple of days, and the only person who can get access to it is four different people who all have to turn their key at once, and they all work for the health department. Not true. They said sorry today, right? Oh, of course not. No, police were out there for all to see to say, no, wait, we're fine, we're cool, no apologies from us. This was even them on the radio today. Was this a mistake?
No, because we did it lawfully.
Well, you may have done it lawfully, but there was a very clear understanding in the mind of the public that this information was given for a very specific and very limited purpose.
Did you sign up for the app, Gareth?
I did. But hang on. It's not about what I did. Let's just focus on the issue at hand. The Premier and the Deputy Premier did make those statements, and that was the public's understanding. You would agree that that was the public's understanding of how this information would be used?
I would agree that the Premier and the Deputy Premier made it very clear that it's for the contact tracing purpose.
Except it wasn't being used like that in Western Australia.
Shut up, slave!
And there you go. And not only did they break their promise, but they told you to shut up about it. Shut up! We're legal here. We do whatever we want. Yes.
Oh, go on.
Well, I was going to do the final one, the EU.
I have a final world wrap.
Oh, good. The EU, to great fanfare, released their green passport, although it's called the COVID passport now.
Today we are sending.
This is the president, I think, of Portugal, because, you know, they need the tourism. So that's why they had him up signing away.
Today we are sending a renewed signal of confidence to our citizens that together we will overcome this pandemic. Enjoy to travel again safely and freely across the European Union.
Today, the European Digital COVID Certificate reassures us of this spirit of an open Europe, a Europe without barriers, but also a Europe that is slowly but surely opening up after a most difficult time, the pandemic. This certificate is a symbol of an open and digital Europe. We developed this certificate in record time. It will make travel in our union easier, and it will give Europeans back the freedoms they value and cherish so much.
Okay, so just to take that last part first, your freedoms were taken away, they admit it, and you had no freedom to start with. That is up to this lady to determine whether you can roam around free. They have totally dropped the green passport moniker. Now it's the COVID passport. And of course, you can receive this passport by showing proof of vaccination. They're very clear about it. Or antibodies having survived COVID or a test within 72 hours. There was some talk of it being 48, but it turns to be 72. So it's really whatever. It's fine. The funny thing about it is this: the European Union was built on two premises, same money and no passports. That was the main thing. We don't need a passport to travel anywhere.
Yep.
It's really, really, really sad what's happening there.
All predictable.
Yeah. Hey, do you know anything about ethylene oxide?
Not off the top of my head.
Well,
why?
All of these swabs they do for the test from China. I was watching a couple of TikTok videos. You know, I didn't bring a clip. And it's like registered nurse. Anyway, it's all made in China, and the swabs contain ethylene oxide. And according to her, it's very poisonous, and it should not be pushed into your nose.
I'll look it up.
That'd be interesting if you could look that up. Anyway,
I'll dig it. It's possible, but I don't know that it does contain ethylene oxide.
She read the packaging. She said right in the packaging, ethylene oxide.
Well, here's my COVID world wrap from PBS, which I don't know what to make of this clip. It's just a wrap.
The European Union called today for lifting COVID-19 travel restrictions on Americans. The 27 EU members have the option to comply as they see fit. Meanwhile, India's famed Taj Mahal reopened with strict safety protocols. New infections in the country have fallen sharply since peaking in April. North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un is warning of extended COVID restrictions and food shortages for his people. State media says that Kim addressed the ruling Workers' Party on Tuesday. He cited economic damage from the pandemic and agricultural losses from last year's typhoons.
Well, that's an interesting wrap-up.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yeah.
Ethylene oxide is a carcinogen, they think.
Oh, they think. Okay. So that's why.
Yeah. It's in the National Cancer Institute is listed as a carcinogen.
It's not something you want in your nose, maybe.
I wouldn't. No, not on the mucous membranes. No, I don't think so.
And hey, there was a great report in the Daily Mail this morning. Flight MH370 mystery solved.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Many of you may not remember this, but for CNN, before Trump, this airplane disappeared, Malaysia Air. And it was just gone. It was gone from the radar and just disappeared. And CNN stayed on that story for a year. A full year. Don Lemon was the main reporter at a certain point. They were stretching it so thin. Now the report is the American military used electronic jamming technology to make the plane disappear from radar screens before finally shooting it down after a failed bid to reroute it and seize highly sensitive electronic gear, which was on its way to China. I love this one.
What?
Yeah, this is great.
That's a good one.
And this is, who reported this? Florence de Changi. Yeah, French has been reporting, investigating since 2014. She wrote a book, I guess. And she's been a correspondent for the Le Monde. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's great. It's much better than anything we came up with. And it kind of fits with the UFO bullcrap, with the, you know, the Nemesis technology that I believe is being used to make things appear on radar screens can also probably be made to make things disappear from radar screens.
Well, this was the your thesis, or it was you came up with a thesis. Remember when the plane that was shot down over Ukraine?
Yes. Oh, yes. They used the and they trailed behind the other plane and made it look like it was a different type of aircraft, and then there was radar crap going on. Was that it?
Well, what you determined...
I exactly.
I do.
Okay.
There was a test that took place some months earlier.
Right.
Where all the radars of all the aviation systems were blacked out for like 15 minutes, and you had this thesis that it was an experiment they were trying, and they had to not let anyone in on it, so they had to do this blackout, and then they executed the experiment successfully with the shoot down of the Dutch laden aircraft.
Yeah. Whoops.
And then they gave the Dutch the black boxes, and they never could come up with the appropriate answers to blame the Russians. The whole thing is this is a lot of it's ridiculous what's
it's,
going on.
Yeah, it's very sad how this all goes down.
I wonder what the gear was that they were sending to China. You know, that could be a true story.
Of course it could.
As screwy as it sounds. Sorry for the passengers. This is what happened to that plane very that traumatic. Flew over the Korean airline that was shot down by the Russians some years ago. That was flying over Russian territory by accident. Oh, the Russians shot it down.
Oh, wait, didn't we shoot a Korean? No, I thought we shot a Korean plane down.
No, the Russians shot the Korean plane I'm thinking about was flown. It turns out after further research was done, it was equipped with a bunch of cameras under the fuselage to shoot the pictures of some new Russian installation of a new missile installation or some damn thing or radar. I don't know. And the plane accidentally veers off course, and everybody figured, well, they're like, what are they going to do? Shoot it down? And they shot it down. It killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And it's like the public is at risk just being in the system. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we shot down the Iranian airline, and that's what it was.
But no, that was the accidental Navy shoot down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's never been explained.
No.
Except, you know, some bonehead sailor. Hey, there's a bogey off the left port. Boom.
Fire.
Shoot it down.
Oh, dude.
That has never been fully explained by any of these theories.
Well, a couple things are apparent to me as we move along throughout the show. We'll probably pick up on them. China is definitely in the crosshairs. It doesn't matter which story from which side of any house you listen to. China, not good. And it, to me, once again, it's so apparent, even as we listen to this, you know, the clips we just played in the past hour, the elite messaging system is failing. All of this stuff is coming out. And people, they pick it up, and I will say, kudos to Tucker Carlson. He does a lot of very unpopular stories, at least for a pharma-based business, which is what all television is, and certainly television news. But he has some kind of exemption at this point. You almost want to think controlled opposition. I mean, he did a big piece on Revolver News, which is, again, another independent, or as far as we know, independent from the mainstream, who, you know, did FOIA requests, and it turns out that there are a lot of unindicted co-conspirators on conspirators on January 6th, which, as we know, points to a typical six-week cycle FBI scam of getting stuff riled up. And even Glenn Greenwald, Don Raff, he's now saying, this is what they've been doing for 20 years. Yeah, okay. Well, we've actually been playing for 10 years at least since one of our producers told me about the FBI six-week cycle. They have to have something happen in order to keep the budgets flowing, to stay relevant. And story after story, they get some schmuck, usually with a low IQ. They tell them where to rent the van. They tell them where to get the phony baloney explosives. They give them the dumb keypad to press the number. And the minute he does it, they swoop in, crisis averted, and they're the heroes. Garland, Texas. Remember that crazy shootout at the Draw the Muhammad cartoon contest? Turns out the FBI knew about that, and they would say, yeah, the FBI agent said, go shoot him up there in Texas. You know, so now it's very annoying that there's people who know about this, and it's getting out there, and people are talking about it. The same with the Wuhan lab and whatever else may be coming out. The system is failing them. It's failing them. People are gone.
I'm glad you feel that way, because I sure don't.
Oh, we have a long way to go, but it's enough for them to not keep going full steam ahead as if nothing's happened. They notice when they have to take the L on something. Now, I may be overthinking it, but what other reason could there be that they're starting to admit to all this stuff that was completely seen as crack pottery? And we'll also get to they're going to stop these vaccines. It's coming out. It's unstoppable. I wasn't even going to play this, but when I heard this clip, I thought, that seems also to be a little bit of a walk back on what we initially heard.
What about boosters? Some people have been vaccinated for about 5 months now. When will those start being distributed, and is there a plan for that?
Yeah, I have to tell you, Martha, I'm not thinking about boosters right now. These vaccines look so incredibly good and so durable that I don't think most Americans are going to need a booster this year. They might at some point next year. I know we've heard from the companies that people might need a booster within the year. We've got to pay attention to the data. If the data suggests that there are starting to be more breakthrough infections, then maybe. But I expect that if we're going to get boosters, it'll be in 2022 and maybe even beyond.
That's a walk back. And that's on ABC. So, you know, that's a message that is meant to get out there.
Well, I do have a distraction of the week kind of thing from Tucker. You brought Tucker up.
Yeah.
So that gives me the go-ahead to play a Tucker clip.
Not really, but okay.
That's the way I see it.
Yes.
So I got two clips I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about, it's a language thing. They've come up with this new term they're trying to promote, which is birthing person.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this.
Yes, I have heard the birthing person thing, yeah.
And it turns out that they did bring somebody in front of Congress, and she, a black woman, was the associate assistant budget director of the government, and she's pushing the term. And it's birthing people. And I do have two clips. I have the birthing people clip from Tucker. And these are a comic break from the depressing clips you played.
Sure. Thank you for doing this.
But now, in just a few weeks.
Birthing people.
Yeah, I got it. Sorry. Well, that's okay. I'm rolling it back.
But now, in just a few weeks, it's gone mainstream. Now the term birthing people has the endorsement of the White House. At a hearing yesterday, the deputy director of Joe Biden's budget office explained, you really have to be a bigot to use the term woman.
The budget requests $26 million to reduce maternal mortality and eliminate race-based disparities in outcomes among, quote, birthing people. I've never heard the term before. Can you explain what it means?
Absolutely. There are certain people who do not have gender identities that apply to female or male. And so we think our language needs to be more inclusive in how we deal with complex issues.
Birthing people.
I think this is starting to peak, by the way. I think this whole woken thing is peaking.
Go look at Bill Maher. He's pushing back against this really hard. That's his job right now. Slow it down. People have gone out of control.
So a doula midwife woman comes on. She's driving around in her car, and she does this one of these classic Twitter. It's probably off by now. They're probably
Instagram story in the car.
Yeah. And she comes off and she just reads these people the Riot Act. And I thought it was a very well done amateur go in the car blabbing away about something or other. There's a 58-second clip. This is the doula midwife.
You've been living under a rock. You've probably heard that we're supposed to start using terms like birthing person and chest feeding and pregnant parent because terms like pregnant woman chest or mother feeding. Or breastfeeding are non-inclusive.
What was the term?
Chest feeding.
I've been living under a rock. You've probably heard that we're supposed to start using terms like birthing person and chest feeding and pregnant parent because terms like pregnant woman or mother or breastfeeding are non-inclusive. But I'm a birth doula and a student midwife. And you know what I do for a living is I assist women in labor. And the things that they are doing are uniquely feminine. I just left a birth where the woman was in labor for 4 days. Oh. She was pushing for over an hour. She nearly lost her mind and was emotionally broken down by the end of this. But she delivered her baby. It was placed on her chest. There were tears in both her and her husband's eyes. And the husband leans in close and he whispers, "What a woman." It was a beautiful moment. And you know what would have ruined it? What a birthing person. No, we're not about to diminish the battle that women have had to fight to be recognized as badasses and what our bodies are biologically created to do. Don't even get me started on chest feeding.
This is part of the reason why people are no longer watching television. These 1 minute things, yeah, Instagram has reels, you got TikTok. Tina and I will sit down before we watch the news or television, whatever. And we'll do 5 minutes of just watching Instagram reels. And there's so much of this. Of course, these get taken off pretty quick. But it's short. It's entertaining. Sometimes it's funny. You get a good dog video. Boom, we're back to that. It's very addictive. And I'm sure that the messaging people are beside themselves. They can't figure out how to get the message out anymore. Or at least counter this. That's my thought.
I'm not going to argue that if I'm working in a network, I'm a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably looking this stuff over constantly, and I'm bringing different guys from different shows, different producers in, and I'm saying, what can we do to, is there anything we can do that's as lively as this? Because our stuff's looking a little stolid. It's looking a little stale. It's a little slow moving. What can we do here? And there's probably a lot of people, well, we can introduce a segment. We can bring it in. We can do more man on the street. We can cut it tighter. We can Dutch the camera a little bit. Maybe that'll do it because these guys can't keep the camera straight on these things. Maybe that's what the appeal is. I mean, it goes off the deep
end. They can't bring themselves to lower their technical standards to where it's part of the art form. That's a part of the art form. They can't. If it's like what's his face with that carpool karaoke? It's professional. Multicam. They can't bring themselves to do just a crappy ass someone holding a phone while in the parking lot. They can't do it. Oh, that's not television. Ah, now you see the problem. So these are fun changes. I'm very happy to be alive. I'm happy to have this job. And happy to be doing it with you, John.
Aww.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage to say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in chest feeding, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, slip your sea boots on the ground, feeding the air, slip in the water, dames and knights out there.
And in the morning to our trolls in the troll room, I'd like to get a count. Could you please put your hands up, everybody? Oh, there they go. Once again, they're all kind of just scurrying away. Let's take a look and do a troll count. Hands up, trolls. Hands up. Oh, of course, it doesn't work for me again. Why is my power taken away? Could someone please do the troll count? Oh, God. This ruins the whole bit, people. Ah, 1707. How is that for
you? Yeah, we're down 100.
We need help. We need help, people. That's the troll room. You can go and I talked about you, by the way. I did the Brian Brushwood podcast. Talked about the troll room, so you guys can go watch that when it's released and feel good about yourselves. They found it odd that I called you trolls, and I said, do you know what a chat room is? It's where trolls hang out. NoAgendaStream.com. You can join. It's free. Go ahead. Hang out.
Wait. Brushwood and his partner thought it was weird that you called them trolls?
Yeah, they think a lot is weird.
Yeah, they should listen to the show.
Brushwood, well, it was very interesting. He says, so No Agenda, he's a big fan of the show. And by the way, I went out to his setup out in, a little bit out of Austin. He's got a nice setup, man. He's got a sound stage and everything. He's got his stuff tight. But of course, so he doesn't have enough time to listen to this show. And he says, so No Agenda, basically, you guys just go against everything. No.
What's he talking about?
No, our mission statement.
The show. He's probably never heard it. He's probably never heard one episode.
He has. He definitely has.
I doubt it.
Well, I don't know. And he might not have heard
why
all the way
through. Why would
he say
that we go against everything? We don't go against anything. We just deconstruct news stories.
That's why I said we have 40 to 50 clips every single show. And, and then they both go, oh, wait a minute. You guys have so much history in the media. I said, now you're getting it. And then add to that the producers who have actual knowledge of shit that's going on because they're in that vocation.
And the dude's named Ben.
Hello? Hello? The dude's named Ben. So anyway. Trolls, we love you, and you can join them, become a troll at noagendastream.com. You can also listen live to this show and other shows that stream live continuously. If not, there's always some podcast from around Gitmo Nation. It's more talk, less commercials, and a lot of fun. Also, please follow us on our federated, non-algoized social network, noagendasocial.com. You can follow us from any Mastodon server. Follow at John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com. And at Adam at noagendasocial.com. Great place. In general, another one of these systems that is just under the radar, but it's not small. And this is where content flows, certainly amongst the No Agenda Nation servers, content flows unrestricted. And that's the way it should be. Now, let us thank the artist who brought us the artwork. We are very proud of being one of the very few podcasts anywhere in the world to have brand new album art for every single show. That is because of our fantastic artist community. Parker Pauly, and you really, it was very obvious. You went, I like it. It's a beautiful piece of art. It was the Wonder Bread, No Agenda, the best podcast since sliced bread piece of artwork. And it is. It's a really nice piece. What was interesting is you had a whole backstory on how Wonder Bread is made. I mean, I wanted the Tamagotchi. I thought the Tamagotchi was cute by Tontoneo. But when you laid into me with the whole how Wonder Bread is made, I'm like, wow, this is great.
That wasn't the reason you picked the art. The Tamagotchi was unrecognizable at small sizes, your main complaint, generally speaking. And nobody knows what a Tamagotchi looks like anymore. I didn't.
That's the worst part. One. That's the worst part. I realized that as well. No one knows what that is anymore. So tell us, how was Wonder Bread made?
When I was an air pollution inspector, we had a factory nearby that made a clone of Wonder Bread called, it was Kirkpatrick, I can't remember the name. Somebody might remember the name. It's with a K. But it was a bread, and I went and inspected the facility, and it's a Wonder Bread, and in the business it's called Balloon Bread. The guy explained to me, took me around, and showed me the whole process. Which, I think most factories will do this for you. But one of the things I really enjoyed about being an air pollution inspector was touring factories. If you've never toured a lot of factories, manufacturing facilities, places that make candy, whatever. You're missing out. It's fascinating, at least to me. There's been a couple of TV shows that exploit this idea. So I go around. He says, it's called Balloon Bread. It's this very specific kind of bread. I think it was invented by the Wonder Bread people. And Kilpatrick is the name of the bread. Mm. And what it consists of is a very, very minute amount of dough that is, it's a very small, really amazingly small.
It's a small load.
Small load. And so they put it in there, and then it gets tempered in these humidifiers, these giant humidifying ovens that puff it up to this huge giant loaf, and then it, which is all air, it's just the light as can be, and then it goes into the it's a yeasted bread. It goes into the ovens after this. It's a couple. I don't know how long it is in the humidifier, but it's in there for a long time. It's hot and warm, and it makes the bread blow up, and hence balloon bread. Hmm. And then it gets quick baked, and then it gets sliced with these special slicers because the stuff's so delicate. And it's just a fascinating product. It's probably, if some people have low carbohydrate needs in their diets for whatever reason, I think this is probably the bread to eat. There's nothing there.
Ladies and gentlemen, show me a podcast anywhere in the world that explains that to you.
The more you know in the morning.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I could have done a better job. That was 20 years ago.
And I thought the reason you love being an air pollution inspector was because Barbara Boxer was hitting on you. But
she was never hitting on me. But she was hitting on the other guy.
Thank you very much, Parker Pauly, for bringing us the artwork. Thank you to all of our artists. You can find and contribute to art at noagendaartgenerator.com. We really appreciate it. You can see a lot of these whipping around in your podcasting 2.0 compatible app. There's a new episode of Animated No Agenda. And if you use a brand new app from newpodcastapps.com, you can help Dame Jennifer out, boost her and her cohorts with the brand new Animated No Agenda. You can try PodFriend or CurioCaster, Podverse. A lot of them work as video starts to enter the podcasting 2.0 realm. Now, let us thank some of you.
Well, first of all, the spreadsheet's wrong because I screwed up. I sent a note to Eric grousing him out, and then I went back and looked and said, oh, jeez,
It was your fault. Did you apologize? You just left it where it was.
No, I had to tell him to change the amount on the tally, even though he's not going to change the spreadsheet, but for the purposes of bookkeeping, he's got to change the number, which is our number one donor, Seronymous.
Oh yeah, I don't have him on my sheet. Indeed.
He's down there. You look at the, where it's not supposed to be at $310.13.
Oh.
You see him down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, he's never given that amount in his life.
No, he's no cheap jack.
So he gave us $3,113.
Whoa!
That's the code.
Damn.
So he's at the top.
Holy crap a moly.
Yeah, he's in a mood. So he gave us $3,113.
He's in a mood, you said. Well, first of all, I just have to say, Sir Anonymous, whoa, thank you. Every month, for how many years has he been donating?
I don't know.
With codes that we don't understand.
He's got all these codes.
We love your codes. Right.
But here is his letter, which we'll read with great sincerity. Being a woke type, pronoun used toward me are dumb shit and asshole, or variations of those terms. Although recently, after using John's retort to stay safe, I also became known as Fuck You Too. Thank you to all the producers for their continued support, from the many weekly and monthly donations to clips, to jingles, to technology support, and the many unseen and unrecognizable contributions.
Indeed.
Perhaps it was the headlines about inflation, but memories from the 70s, oil embargo, became fresh in my memory. I began having visions of Jimmy Carter in a sweater telling us to turn down our thermometer. He said thermometer, but he meant thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
The energy crisis began, a time when critical resources, namely crude oil, was imported into a resource-rich but underdeveloped North American continent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Memories of the American response. Mustang 2? Now, this is kind of interesting.
That's interesting, yeah.
Let me change.
What are you doing? You're fading.
No, I'm changing my glasses.
Oh, very good.
Memories of the American response. Mustang 2, Chevy 2, Chevette, Pinto, Vega,
wow.
Monza, and the Chrysler Galant, mixed with with visions of EVs, wind turbines, and solar panel arrays falling into disrepair as the energy and climate crisis blurred in my mind. So I will hearken back to that period, too, where you had that's when all these houses had these, besides the solar panels weren't the thing, because they were way too, they would cost millions.
No, everyone spent their money on a huge C-band satellite dish.
Well, there's a little of that, but no, I'm talking about the roof installations of solar heat collectors.
Right. Jeez, forgot about that.
So people would have a whole array of black pipes on their roof had a covering. It looked a lot like solar panels today from a distance. And the idea was it would heat the water, and you could use that for heating the house and using for hot water and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so your life was basically lukewarm.
It was pretty bad. He continues in his note. Then, as now, the world economies were going to recreate themselves and end our addiction to fossil fuels. This was true in the 70s. Mm-hmm. As the old saying goes about history, sometimes it rhymes. A few millennia ago, the whole earth spoke one language and chose to build a city and tower whose top may reach into the heavens. I have great faith the current one world language of the Build Back Better, trying to create a world and tower in their own graven image unto their heavens, moon and planets, will also be referred to as
Babel.
Perhaps under the leadership of a U.S. President Babel. We may have that now.
Yeah.
Languages, culture, and customs have an evolutionary reason to exist. The survival of humankind. The earth does not have one kind of weather or terrain. Trying to make one answer fit all reduces our species' ability to survive. No jingles, no karma.
There, wow.
A little lecture from them.
I like it, honors. and later I actually have some proof of what he says here about the Tower of Babel being built. And that's good. I always appreciate Seronimus of Dogpatch and Lower Slobovia, and we cannot complain at all about his level of support. Thank you so much. And it's again,
a genuine patron.
He never wants. He doesn't want a title. I'm sure he's Grand Duke. Well, he's Sir, yeah. I'm sure he's Grand Duke.
Oh, yeah, he could be
way
Grand
over
Duke,
that. Yeah, sure. But he's not interested in that. Anyway.
Doesn't seem so.
Thank you again very, 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 very much.
Chris Burge is next on the list. I'll read the next two.
Okay.
1475, he says 1357 towards Instanite, which we give him today, and 1357 show number donation, so he's a club member, and $50 toward JCD's V8 supply, and the rest toward the PayPal fees.
Beauty. In the morning, please use my alias, Huskadaver, as my name. That is my name and not my real name. I'd like to stay anonymous for my work. Yay! In the morning, Crackpot and Buzzkill, Adam and John, thank you too, and all the producers of the No Agenda for the outstanding, entertaining, amygdala shrinking experience in the form of the 2 weekly sanitation. Much appreciated. Anyways, let's keep it short. Request de-douching me.
You've been de-douched.
And then he says, China is asshole and foamer. Long overdue donation, $333 and $210 together. The donation of $1151. Brand purpose, the associate executive producer and show $1154. Goldfish invasion. It brings me to knighthood. name will be Hoos Kadhafer, the Indian boy. And he does want some... Frisk Hinder whiskey in its own cask and a Frisk Sipple Sop with Nachokas at the round table. Wow, even though the note came in late, I can probably get that for you. And let's see, we'll give you the your jingles here, which you wanted.
China is asshole!
Oh my god! Woo! Listen to that horn!
You've got karma.
Okay, I'll grab this next one. Have that all lined up as well, and I will add those accoutrements for you, Hoost Kadhafer, soon to be Sir Hoost. That says, Baronet, dude named Ben, defender of megawatts, protector of the electric grid from Grapevine, Texas. It's the dude's name, Ben, who keep the show running, everybody. Adam and John, thank you for your courage and all that you do. This donation is in honor of my 35th birthday on June 19th and my second Father's Day. Please give me job search karma. As the CEO of my company has decided to be a globalist cuck, he has instituted a policy of othering. You may return to work and not socially distance, only if vaccinated. If you're unvaccinated, then you must still socially distance and wear a mask. Furthermore, the vaccinated get little stickers for their badges. Ugh. The shaming continues with company gyms only being available to the vaccinated. This obvious immoral policy is pushing me to look for new work. At the start of this, I told my VP and my boss that a mask or a vaccine would not be a condition of my employment, so I've decided to stick to my moral guns and vote with my feet if possible and make them fire me if not. And he has some jingles that he wanted. So far, my job search, not only have I seen a vastly increased number of remote jobs, but a lot of companies are handling this the right way. While they may encourage the vaccine, they are not participating in the othering that my company has decided to do. As a result, I would like to encourage all the other No Agenda producers to vote with your feet and find a company that will treat you better. Sincerely, Baronet, dude named Ben, defender of megawatts, protector of the electric grid. His sequence of jingles is here.
It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
Do not come.
Oh my gosh! Can you see that juice?
You've got karma.
Yeah, that's how you, that'll get you a job.
Sorry, I was looking at the garbage guys outside, dicking around my garbage cans.
Are they, what are they doing, man?
I'm trying to figure it out. Trying to figure it out.
Okay.
All right, let's get back to this. Sorry.
That's okay.
Mike. The Baron of Old Bay is next on the list from Wilmington, Delaware, 333.3. And he says, from the office of the Baron of Old Bay, Alpha Charlie Tango. I'm sorry, Alpha Charlie Tango India Victor Alpha Tango Echo Space Alpha Golf Echo November Tango Sierra Clip. You will obey. Credit in show notes. The Baron of Old Bay.
You will obey. You will obey. You will obey.
No problem.
Sir Ronald Gardner. What do we got here? Sir Ronald Gardner of Insane Diego. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And surrounding waters in San Diego, California, 333.33. He says, Happy Father's Day, no jingles, no karma.
Very nice.
Randy Carlson in Pahrump, Nevada. Pahrump.
Pahrump. Pahrump.
33333. From Pahrump, where the legal hookers have returned to work finally.
Yay! Good news.
That's it. That's all he's got to say.
Okay. Good enough.
It's good enough for me. Teresa Mazuko in Snohomish, Washington, 333.33. Got a lot of, this is our 333. This is our, executive producer drive. for the first 6 months of this year.
Yes.
To keep us afloat.
And a lot of people doing Happy Father's Day shout outs here, which is beautiful.
And we have that in here too. And I would keep a lookout for those. Please deduce my husband, Dale, and wonderful father of our human resource. He hit me in the mouth last.
Go ahead. I was deducing him already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Deduce him. Do a clean deduce.
Ladies and gentlemen, a clean deduce.
You've been deduced.
Ooh, so clean.
He hit me in the mouth. You need a clean deduce.
Mm-hmm.
He hit me in the mouth last summer, and your show has helped keep me sane through all the COVID and political hysteria. Happy Father's Day. You are a douchebag no longer.
Aww.
That's sweet.
Anonymous from Miami Beach. By the way, I talked about that with Brushwood and Justin. And you know how this really Eric Clapton should be listening to our show. Because he would, you know, if he talked about anxiety, there's something about the way it works that it would make everybody happy. We could inspire the next mega hit from Eric Clapton if he listened to this show. I can dream.
Or he could do a jingle for us.
Yeah, now we're talking. Exactly. A jingle. Anonymous, Miami Beach, 33333. I'd like to credit my first donation to my smoking hot wife, who shall therefore heretofore be known as the monkey boss of Miami, and whose birthday just happens to fall on a show day, June 20th. You're a little early. Nothing says love like an executive producer credit and a solid birthday deducing. Hell yeah.
You've been deduced.
It continues. I started listening to the show after hearing Adam on Joe Rogan.
Rogan donation.
Won a show. And I hit the monkey boss in the mouth shortly thereafter. Since then, I don't think she's missed even 1 minute of the show. In fact, I can guarantee that she's listening to this right now with a huge smile on her face. Go over there and kiss that smile. To say that no agenda has kept us sane over the past 15 months would be an understatement. The show gave us the courage to vote with our feet, packing up and leaving the hopeless state of New Jersey in the middle of last year after Governor Murphy said he had no time for the Bill of Rights, to travel all over the free states of America's South, of American South, which has been fantastic and liberating, except for Austin, a.k.a. the Skid Row of the South. I'm very proud to say that we have remained COVID vaccine and stupidity free with continually shrinking amygdalas throughout our journey. I'll have to remain a douchebag for just a while longer, but knowing that I am now married to an executive producer more than makes up for it. Please tell, thanks, John and Adam, for everything you do and for helping to make my wife's birthday a special one. Please tell her that I love her. Anonymous loves you. And he requests some goat
and
karma.
He's so proud of it. He has to be anonymous. Give me a no.
All these guys showing up at the door. Hey, I'm anonymous. Hey, baby.
Hey, I'm coming. Hey, I'm over there. So
wait, they've got a couple
like
of jingles.
I like the Austin Skid Row of the South.
Sad, but yes. And nothing has changed. That, you know, the first month was the let's everybody get used to it. 30 days. Now we're in the second 30 days. Started June 11th. This is where they're supposed to be giving people citations and telling them where to go. And it's only gotten worse. Nothing has changed. It's not going to change.
Sadly. No, the word gets out, too.
Yeah, it's not going to change. Jingles, go karma, don't eat me, Bojiden, 33 is the magic number. China's asshole, happy to comply.
Don't eat me, Bojiden, you're scary, so scary.
33, that's the magic number.
Oh, my God.
It's the magic number.
China is asshole.
You've got karma.
Sir Antonio in Madrid, España, 333.33. First thing first, I need a big health karma for someone very close and dear to me. This is Sir Antonio of Madrid, Spain. This donation makes me go above the 2000 water level mark, accounting below, but I refuse the title of baronet and keep my knighthood. We always keep the knighthood. Waiting for the upcoming barony. Thanks for countless hours of infosainment. You rock, Sir Antonio of Madrid.
Nice. Thank you. We like it when we rock.
Yeah, we do.
Hold on. He needs the big health karma.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What am I thinking?
Yeah. You've got karma.
Health karma.
ZZ Searles in Berkeley.
Uh-oh.
333.33. Yo, John, it's your neighbor Z from South Berkeley. Peace. JNA would like to get you the real BTC OG Max Kaiser to come to the Yay for a stand-up rage. If so, donate this dollars for drinks. Request, play seven goat screams to break the simulation. ZZ.
All right, so Max Kaiser is doing an F Elon World Tour. First stop is Austin, Texas. And for some reason, he's now tagging me in all these tweets and putting me into interesting collages of pictures as a celebrity who will be attending the event on July 8th. And
He's doing this without your permission.
Oh, he has my permission anytime he wants to do that. I'm all for it. This is hilarious. We're getting lots of juice. And he's going to light a Tesla on fire, which I look forward to. That should be fun.
I don't know why. This makes no sense to me.
Well, in the Bitcoin...
No, I'm just telling you. Just leave it sit there. It'll catch on fire by itself.
Die! As requested, seven goat screams in a row. Wow. That was pretty
what
cool.
What happened? I'm not... my room has changed. The office is clean.
Yeah, if only. All right. Excellent.
All right, next is Viscount Sander Hochsbergen in Zaandam.
Oh, yeah.
333.33. But... I can find no note from him.
I have no note either from Viscount Sander.
No, I didn't see anything that said donation from him. I don't know.
I bet you it's a happy Father's Day. That seems like something he
could
would
be. Could be. Father's Day still coming, so Sander can send us a note in the meantime. Send it to me.
Sean McCall in Bloomington, Minnesota, 333.33. An interesting note. Let me see if I can get through this. This should put me in the knighthood. Please dub me Sir Sean of LibertyManiacs.com. LibertyManiacs.com. It's my brother's business, but it's also my executive producer handle for episode 1217. So let's just lean into that. Dan, brother, who's also a contributor, created the art on LibertyManiacs.com for the art of 1216. That's our episode 1216 that was lifted by someone else. These things happen. I don't remember the specific example. I sent the donation and drunk note poorly explaining the situation for 1217 that ended up being executive producer. Here's a tighter note for sake of good podcasting. Oh, greetings, gentlemen. I truly appreciate the effort and the thoughtful conversation over the years. I'd like to shout out my smoke show wife, Linda, who surprised me with a small gathering of my closest friends and all No Agenda listeners yesterday for my birthday, June 15th. And also a shout out to my brother, Dan, who hit us all in the mouth a few years back. He actually runs LibertyManiacs.com. There you go. I just pitch ideas and help with some art direction occasionally. Check out his store, if nothing else, because he beat the NSA, Hillary, and Bernie in separate parody lawsuits all brought against him. Wow. That's not easy to do, but well done. No jingles, just more baby-making karma for Linda and I, who will be starting IVF treatments in the next week for our first human resource, hopefully of many. Thank you for your service, love, and light, and some positive vibrations all around the NA multiverse. Sher McCall of LibertyManiacs.com. Well, of course, we've got some of that baby-making karma. Here you go.
You've got karma.
Yum.
Do we ever get the art thing straightened out?
I have no idea. I think it's okay.
Sir David Fugazoto is next.
Oh.
He's the Duke of America's Heartland in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, $333.33. Thanks for the dads. Thanks for all the dads out there, especially my own. And thanks to the No Agenda community for all the karma. I'll spend Father's Day this year. What's this? Is this cut off on my thing? It says my dames.
Yeah, I'll spend Father's Day this year with my dames.
I don't see the whiff.
I'm making it up. Maybe he's just hanging out.
As I write this, I'm sipping. Oh, I see what's happening.
Maybe he's just hanging out with some
bootleg Stella.
Maybe he means he's hanging out with some broads.
He's drinking some Stella.
That's why.
Stella Artois in the Dulles en route to see Kansas City, Missouri. Ah, oh, finally.
Yay.
He's in Dulles. He's
finally
in Dulles
home for the holidays. Home for Father's Day. It doesn't get any more romantic.
Drinking a European beer.
Hey, I want Dame Melody. What I'd like is, hopefully, if it hasn't happened yet, I want one of those videos. You know, he comes in with his uniform on and surprises Dame Isabella, and everyone cries. I love those. You know what I mean? I love those. It's always on the news. I love that. That's a beautiful moment. I love that. I'm happy for all of you.
Onward with Kevin Gargiulo. And there is no note that I can find using his last name as a search or donation in Sugar Hill, Georgia, 33333. He can send us something later. Kevin Battinger, 33333.
Random number theory. Random number theory. Two Kevins back to back.
Yeah, exactly. And both with the 33333.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo Bravo in Los Angeles, California, sent a note, a card, actually. It simply says karma to all. We're going to need it. Leo Bravo. Nice card, by the way.
You've got karma.
I guess the back office decided I didn't need to see the front of the card. Just here's the writing. Just take that.
Yeah, you don't need to see the front of the card. It's a nice card. Yeah. Your turn.
Then we have Sir Julian from Page, Texas, 333. Sir Julian checking in, requesting a title change. Okay. My better three quarters noticed I was inches away from reaching Duke. Normally, my value for value comes in randomly and for different amounts, but this one is just to put me over the line and pick up some more of that sweet, sweet IMDb cred. As an in-the-know knight, I was able to spot the trends and make a move to Texas months before everyone else in the early days of COVID. People at work thought I was some kind of clairvoyant. Yeah, you just listened to the No Agenda show. I'll meet with Sir Gene to determine the appropriate fiefdom and protectorate closer to the homestead here in Bastrop. Oh, good. Bastrop's a great place to be. During my time at Apple, Bastrop. Bastrop's a great little town. I think it's very underrated.
I never heard of it. Is that so underrated it is?
I've stayed there with the Airstream. Yeah, I think I've even done a show from there from time to time. Bastrop, you know, it's a lot of young people going out there. It's very affordable still, and it's reasonably accessible, certainly from Austin. During my time at Apple, there was a tactic employed to circumvent national security letter gag orders, notify by omission. You see, you can't tell people you've been compromised, but you could remove language that was no longer factual from documents. Along these lines, I'd like to confirm that you have not been compromised. Cue the shape-shifting Jew jingle. While I don't have evidence of shape-shifting Jews, I will fight to the death for you to be able to play the jingle, says Sir Julian.
You've got karma.
Always a winner.
Okay, we got a two in a row here, and I was looking for something. Can you skip down a few and read a note down this as I?
Yeah, I'll read Sir Stinkfinger. How about that? This is a June 17th birthday dame drive for my Fels. Let me start over again. Let me make sure I got his thing here. This is a June 17th birthday dame drive for my face-melting hot wife, Femke, my anchor in life's ocean, my harbor in the tempest, and best mother of our three human resources. That's a birthing person. Not only does she run her own recruitment agency, hunting heads and trafficking humanoids, in between she finds time to organize the No Agenda Lowlands business meetup with already over 33 participants. Now she's topped the point of having spent more than half of her life with me, which deserves a proper de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
And for that, she needs a TPP, she needs a Sleepy Joe, and an R2-D2. P.S. I keep hearing Sleepy Joe. Is that a slip of the tongue referring to Joe likely being, Sleepy Joe? I keep hearing CP Joe. Is that a slip of the tongue referring to Joe likely being incontinent during dealing with leakage?
Oh, jeez. What an observation.
Everything was going so well with your entire note. Well, she's on the list, of course, and we honor dames anywhere.
Here we go.
Jobs.
You've got karma.
Woo!
All right, let's jump back up to Brett Samuel, who did send in a note. I found he didn't use it. He didn't put donation.
He didn't do it properly. Thing. He did not follow protocol.
He did not follow protocol, but I found it anyway.
Good job.
In fact, the subject line was last night's show was great. I just sent, which is fine, but hard to, it's not protocol. I just sent you the prescribed 333.33. Thank you for covering world events and not just COVID. I think a lot of people are sick of COVID. We try to minimize it now.
Yeah. Well, we're doing the pertinent stuff.
We're targeting it. We're targeting the reversal.
That's right.
We're documenting the reversal of the whole scam.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps I'm a douche at this point, but I do feel free. Perhaps I'm a douche on this point, but do feel free to fix that. Just complimenting us. There's nothing to fix. All the best, guys, sir. Dark fake, soon to be Baron. I hope, Brett.
Nice. All right. How about Jackie? Got anything for Jackie?
I look for Jackie. Jackie Green's one of our regular donors, famous guy, and I can't find a note from him. So, Jackie,
thank you, Jackie.
He's up in Orangevale, California. I was always hoping he could come down to one of the meetups. And
Jackie Green, isn't Jackie Green, is he a comedian?
No, you're thinking of Shecky Green from the 60s.
Whoa, must be that Moderna job. Jab. I don't know what I'm doing now. All right, who?
Jackie Green's a good. Really, you can look him up. He's an outstanding guitarist.
Oh,
and I'm sure he really enjoyed listening to the Eric Clapton material.
All right, Jackie Green. Let me see. We have Andres Rodriguez. Monrovia, California, 22222, associate executive producership. First time, long time. Please, deduce me.
You've been deduced.
And he says, on my way to becoming circuit breaker operator of the Los Angeles area. I think this may be another one of those dudes named Ben in the power business. I've freeloaded for years and am now coughing up a fraction of the value I have received. You two have been an invaluable pair in my life, keeping me informed and a step ahead of my peers. I tell them all to listen, but they can't stand having their beliefs so directly challenged. COVID numbers are juiced. PCR tests perpetuate the myth of unprecedented asymptomatic spread. Preventative and active treatments work, and natural immunity exists. Thanks for all you do. Jobs, karma, Trump aroused, followed by some baby-making karma, please.
It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
Jobs. Jobs, jobs, and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
You're talking about these scamish PCR tests.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been affecting sports and now about, the playoffs.
Yes.
Well, we had a golfer that was going to make $1.8 million, mm-hmm, and he was kicked off the tour for the final round because he had asymptomatic bullcrap.
After having been vaccinated.
Well, we have another case of that. Chris Paul, the point guard for the Suns, who are just kicking ass in the NBA playoffs, vaccinated, tested positive. Now he has to go on a 10-day thing. He's going to probably miss the first game of the playoffs.
10-day what?
That's what the protocol for the NBA is. That the two things happen. One, you go into quarantine for 10 days.
That's their protocol. That's not the generally accepted protocol.
It's their protocol.
Oh, okay.
So this to me, it's now it's starting to sound with the Chris Paul thing, which was Chris Paul's been playing outstanding and he's been vaccinated. And now he's got to go into this protocol. Now, if he tests positive twice.
Now, what position does he play?
He's the point guard. He's the guy who leads the team.
Oh, he's an important guy.
He is the important guy.
Okay. Well, this stinks.
This sounds like gambling to me.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking. What a great way to make some money.
Yeah, you take this guy out of the, it changes the odds, and maybe he comes back, and now you bet on the lower odds because the odds are really going to not favor the Suns if he's not playing, but then all of a sudden he starts playing, gets to play for some reason. I mean, this is rigged. And I am surprised, actually, that the gambler, I think, may have been going on a whole time that the gamblers, they get a hold of somebody doing the tests. They, you know, let's make sure he gets his numbers the way that, so he's got it. He's asymptomatic. He's not sick.
But let me, I don't know much about sports or betting. So sports betting is a new combo.
You mean a new combo you don't know anything about?
Well, I know about it, but I don't know how it works. And so my question is, so now that he's, you say, you know, so you could know that he was getting this test. It's going to change the outcome, you'd think, of the game, but doesn't everyone adjust their bet accordingly before the game is actually played?
Yeah. And okay. they changed some of the, it's changed on the fly. But if everybody starts betting one way, and then all of a sudden he shows up and can't play because he tested positive, and
we don't know if he's going to show up or not. He may be able to play, is what you're saying.
But then he may not be able to.
Oh, I mean, this is
the gambling community, the crooked people gambling community.
It's right next to the black and brown community, I hear.
It's also very not much different than the crooked stock market community. Everything's crooked. If it can be crooked, it's crooked.
Yeah.
Wow. So I find it to be distressing.
So what's
lot of it has to do with this asymptomatic nonsense.
So what's your under over and the spread on the Suns?
Under over. I don't know. I'd have to go look at the lines.
Okay. Wow.
But it's definitely going to affect things. And not in a good way. Oh, in a good way if you know what you're doing, if you're on the right side of it. You did Andre Rodriguez?
Yes, I did.
I'm doing Adam Carter in Milwaukee.
Okay.
2-17-77. I wish I had known about you dorks last year.
Why? Why? What would have changed? How would your life have been different?
Please call up my brother Aaron for being a douchebag of legendary proportions.
Douchebag.
And send some goat Carmen to my smoking hot girlfriend Sarah for freeing me from douchedom. And with that, I need a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
You know, nothing says I love you, baby, than some goat. I mean, that's just the way to do it.
You've got karma.
Clinton S. in Tucson, Arizona, 2-16-17. When I saw the show date lined up with my 33rd birthday, yet another, I took it as a sign to finally make a donation. I wish I could celebrate with a 61721, but 21617 is what can be budgeted for this year.
It's appreciated, man. It's about making it meaningful to you is what it's all about.
You all are doing the Lord's work in an informative and, most importantly, entertaining way. I hope you never find an exit strateg.
I think he means strategy.
Oh, maybe.
I like that. You know, if in church the Lord was a little more informative and entertaining, more people would go.
Yeah, it's really the people interpreting the Lord.
Yeah, there you go.
Not the Lord himself. Chris Wyrish in Barnegat Light, New Jersey, 20333. Hello, Adam and John. Love the show. This is my first donation. It's long overdue. All the best, Chris.
All right. I'm not going to let a Jersey boy get off that easy.
You've been de-douched.
You get a de-douching. Welcome to the pate. Eric Constable from Jacksonville, Florida. Associate executive producer, $200.33. I need a big deduction.
You've been deduced.
And I want to call out Gay Joe for being a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Please don't read if this is not of interest. It's always of interest. I work out at the YMCA in Jacksonville in St. Augustine, Florida. Happened to be in the St. Augustine branch. Tried to get on your archive player and show notes page. I got the message below. Oh, it was blocked. I just want to let you guys know that you are violent. Oh, I want to let you guys know that you are violent, hateful, and racist. It's one of those. Our domain is blocked because of violent, hateful, racist content. Yeah.
This is Sonic Wall. I'm looking into it. It's the noagendanotes.com site.
Huh, really?
And I don't know what they're talking about.
Sonic Wall? What's Sonic Wall?
Sonic Wall is one of those appliances that you stick in front of your servers and it says, oh, no, because we're on some blacklist.
What I like usually is that you can then contest it. You can do it right on that page. If you think this is an error.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can? Yeah. Well, that needs to be done then.
Well,
And he says, just wanted to let you guys know. Okay, well, I donate regularly to the YMCA, but with the permission of my keeper, that money will now go to sponsor a domestic terrorist group called No Agenda. Thanks. Eric Constable, Jacksonville, Florida. Well, thank you very much for your courage. And I'll take Joshua Odell from Wheat Ridge, Colorado, $200. Listener since day one, first-time donor. D-douche, please.
You've been D-douched.
And Joshua says, could I get some surgery karma for an elbow repair today on the 17th? Yes, of course.
Ow.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much ow. Here you go.
You've got karma.
Jenna D'Amico is on the list from Bellingham, Washington. 200. Hi, TM. I'm donating to wish Jen Jones a happy birthday on June 18th and a congratulations to closing on her home on June 14th. Please apply this donation to her damehood. She can do that. You guys do the books on your own donations. Add her to the birthday list and send her all the karma for a great future.
Karma? Yes, karma, of course.
You've got karma.
His note. Triggered me because, you know, let me tell you.
Jenna.
Yeah. Closing on selling your home.
Woman.
And closing on buying your new home 1 week apart is rather stressful.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now. There's a whole bunch of dominoes. And if somebody trips it, they all fall down and it becomes a big mess. It's very.
Yeah, you have to go live in a trailer.
Pretty much. And I sold that one. Rich Watson, King City, Ontario, $200. Hey, John and Adam, I've been an avid listener since Adam's first appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience. This is my first donation. Please deduce me.
You've been deduced.
I'm 29 years old and live in King County, Ontario, Canada, just north of Toronto. I've really appreciated the perspective and media deconstruction your show provides. Hey. I've always tried to have an open mind, and your show has really helped provide a sane, objective perspective on current events, with a tinge of sexism. Thanks to you both and the NA producers, my amygdala is smaller than ever. I started a home service franchise 2.5 years ago, and it's been a wild ride since COVID started. Thankfully, our services focus on exterior work, so we've been spared with Ontario's oppressive lockdowns and its restrictions on so many small businesses. We do exterior cleaning, so we've been really busy as people are spending so much time in their homes and realize how dirty their windows are, for example. Shout out to my beautiful fiance, Liz. We got engaged last summer and our wedding was slated for this Labor Day in Vermont, but we just had to reschedule it to next summer as we didn't think the Canadian-US border restrictions would be lifted by then and didn't want to force my Canadian guests to do our hotel quarantine upon return. What a mess up there. Liz is American and moved up here last March. She's experiencing quite the culture shock. She's been back to the U.S. 5 or 6 times since COVID started. Most recently, the week around Memorial Day when the CDC lifted the mask mandate, Liz felt a glamour of freedom back in the U.S. We are still behind the Scandinavian curtain here. Make Canada great again! Thanks for the show, Rich Watson. Thanks, Rich. We feel real bad for y'all up there. We really do. It's kind of insane. It makes no sense. We're in the same continent. We're in North America. How could it be so different for you? The Delta variant.
What?
They're still locked down, man. They got restrictions. In the UK, Boris Johnson, delayed another week. Not going to open on the 21st. Now we'll revisit on the 28th. People are going to become violent. The Brits, certainly.
I'm surprised they're not violent already.
Well, there's a lot of protests, and they're now at the back door of Parliament. There's large groups of people waiting for the politicians to come out, and of course they're not because they're very, very afraid. And there's clashes. It's the British people are. I remember the 70s, man. You got those thin ass dudes up from the north. From Birmingham and everything, when Margaret Thatcher was prime minister, and they brought their literal pitchforks. They were not messing around. Now, of course, they got beaten back up to the north and shut up and had, you know, been living in squalor ever since, but there was some real anger. That's historical fact. Yeah. Well, thank you all very much, our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1356. Nice to see a number of Father's Day shout-outs in this batch as well. Coming up on Father's Day, people can certainly donate again or afresh if you wish. And this is very nice, a good day for us, and great to see Seronymous as well. And looking forward to thanking all of our producers, $50 or more, in our second segment. If you would like to participate again for Father's Day, just go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you for participating in our value for value system with your time, your talent, and your treasure.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Yippee. Maybe time to discuss the other big event of the week.
You mean the Russian meeting with Putin?
Yeah, man. This was, I watched all of the coverage. I was very pleased with what I saw as it went completely off the rails. Only no one knows that.
Oh, no, because the media wouldn't play it.
No, why would you do that? That would be crazy. You can't show actual news. It was fantastic.
Let's play the PBS rundown. They sent Yamiche Elsindor to Switzerland.
Geneva.
And I personally find it racist to do that.
Why?
Well, because today's modern journalism requires a Mexican or a Mexican-American to cover Latin America.
Oh, good point.
And use the accents all the time. Mm-hmm. And a black American to cover black events.
Yeah.
To put a black guy up there in front of, like, a, you know, something going on.
Got to make it equitable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so why don't they send a Swiss woman to Switzerland?
Very disappointing. A blonde Swiss woman.
Yeah, a blonde Swiss woman. Swiss miss.
Swiss miss. Took the words out of my mouth.
No, they send a black woman.
Yes, so
to
wrong.
Switzerland.
So wrong.
Now, this may be a thing like they do. They pull a stray hand. Let's send the black woman to Switzerland
to cover the white men.
Like a sore thumb.
It's literally to cover the white men. I mean, I'm sure someone thought of that, John. You cannot put it past these a-holes.
Well, I just think it was shameful on the part of the National Treasure called public broadcasting. Yeah. Okay, let's listen to, here's part one. This is Russia Summit 1 PBS.
The summit in Switzerland is over, and President Biden and Russia's President Vladimir Putin are headed home tonight. As expected, there were no large breakthroughs. Instead, both sides cast the talks as businesslike. White House correspondent Yamiche Elsindor reports from Geneva.
A historic high-stakes summit between the U.S. and Russia. It began with a handshake at the doors of an 18th-century villa. On the shores of Lake Geneva, President Joe Biden spent hours with Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Biden said the meeting was constructive and that neither party made overt threats. But Mr. Biden did say he made it clear that Russian attacks on the U.S., cyber or otherwise, would lead to grave consequences.
I made it clear that we will not tolerate attempts to violate our democratic sovereignty or destabilize our democratic elections, and we would respond.
President Putin called the summit, quote, very constructive. Still, he took no responsibility for the cyber attacks from Russian criminals that have targeted U.S. infrastructure, and he dismissed questions about Russian military aggression in Ukraine. Before the meeting, both leaders said relations between the U.S. and Russia are at a new low. But today began with the two sounding hopeful.
Mr. President, I'd like to thank you for your initiative to meet today. I know that you've been on a long tour. Still, U.S. and Russian relations have a lot of issues accumulated that require the highest level meeting.
And I hope that
our meeting will be productive.
Well, thank you. As I said outside, I think it's always better to meet face to face.
President Biden referred to the U.S. and Russia as, quote, two great powers. In 2014, former President Obama notably referred to Russia only as a, quote, regional power, a dig that has stuck with Putin.
I'd like to just step back 1 second because this requires some setup that is impossible to clip because you really have to have the full overview. The idea was, and I felt that the media, certainly CNN, MSNBC, I watched the trifecta switching back and forth between all. The idea was Joe Biden's going to get up there with his aviators and say, stop that hacking, Vlad. You know, I told you you have no soul. I got my, you shut up, man. Come on, man. Give me a break, man. And they kept saying, oh, we're very, you know, President Biden's going to confront Vladimir Putin. So first of all, the meeting lasts like 2 hours less than it was supposed to last. Very confusing. After a previous day where President Biden showed up 3 hours late, back to CP Joe, I guess. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, they were very, very disappointed because they didn't get any of this, but they still have to present it as if it was some fabulous meeting, really good for America.
It was a dud.
It was a total dud.
Now, I want to do an aside, because you brought it up in the last show, and I start looking for it. It's true. Biden and Putin get together. They're shaking hands. They're, you know, patting each other, the whole thing. But when you cut back to the European leaders, they are arm bumping, elbow bumping.
Yeah.
They're gutless wonders. They oh, God.
Well, but in private, they're all hugging each other, too.
Well, they're tongue kissing in private. Come on.
Ooh.
All right, onward with clip two of the series.
Today's summit was held in the same place that President Ronald Reagan and the former Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, held their first meeting in 1985. The two leaders began with their chief diplomats at their sides, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The talks then expanded to include senior officials from each side, including White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Russian state media posted this photo of the meeting. After about 3 hours, Putin and Mr. Biden concluded the summit. That was shorter than the 4 to 5 hours that U.S. officials had said it would go.
Kind of after 2 hours there, we looked at each other like, okay, what next?
In a striking joint statement, the two nuclear superpowers also agreed, quote, a nuclear...
Wow, hold on. I hadn't heard that bit, but wow. That's just, hey, after a couple hours, we were done. It was all good. Head shaker that's what he's saying.
That U.S. officials had said it would go.
Kind of after 2 hours there, we looked at each other like, okay, what next?
In a striking joint statement, the two nuclear superpowers also agreed, quote, a nuclear war cannot be won and must never be fought. The leaders decided to hold separate press conferences. Putin went first.
Putin.
When he was pressed on the jailing and killing of his political opponents, he invoked the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol.
As for who is killing whom or throwing people in jail, people came to the U.S. with political demands. Over 400 people had criminal charges placed on them. Some people died, and one of the people that died was simply shot on the spot by the police, although they were not threatening the police with any weapons. In many countries, this same thing happens that happens in our country. I would like to stress once more that we sympathize with what happened in the United States, but we have no desire to allow the same thing to happen in our country.
In his own press conference, I questioned President Biden about those very statements.
He said the reason why he's cracking down on opposition leaders is because he doesn't want something like January 6th to happen in Russia. And he also said he doesn't want to see groups formed like Black Lives Matter. What's your response to that, please?
That's a ridiculous comparison. It's one thing for literally criminals to break through cordon,
FBI,
go into the Capitol, kill a police officer, and be held unaccountable.
Lie.
People objecting and marching on the Capitol and saying, you are not allowing me to speak freely.
It's unforgivable that he does that. Unforgivable.
That he lies, bold-faced lies. Mm-hmm. Where's the list of lies from Joe?
Wapo.
Wapo Wapo's got no list of lies from Joe. Then nobody points this out. She doesn't say anything about it.
What was interesting in most of the reporting is they decided that they would latch on to something where, you know, the question about Alexander Navalny, that's what that whole question was about. Now, Yamiche didn't say it, but every other report was Vladimir Putin couldn't even say the guy's name. He wouldn't even say his name. As if that's like the biggest crime that he's committed. He wouldn't say his name. He wouldn't say Navalny. Meanwhile, he Well, let's hear your clips, because he countered a lot of stuff, which is funny. I loved listening to Vladimir.
Well, there's no more Vladimir on this clip list. But this Russia Summit 3 is an optional play. I'd rather jump to Biden.
Well, can I just say something about the things that Putin said? Just summarize it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the questions were, and there were some annoying questions. You know, this one ABC reporter was lauded over how brave and what a great reporter that she stood up to Putin and said, well, why don't you just say his name, Alexander Navalny? What are you afraid of? And Putin went, look, he answered something to the effect of, you know, I promised I would answer questions, so I'll take your shitty ass question. And then he countered it with exactly what Yamiche reported. There were a couple other things, though. On cyber attacks, this was the big thing that President Joe was going to shut him down. And he said, look, the U.S. is the best cyber attacker there is. You know, look at our hospital system that the U.S. attacked. There's at least 10 attacks in the past 3 months. Oops. Okay, so that wasn't reported and nothing was done with it. And what was there was a third thing that that came back. Well, and also, holy crap, the difference in translators from network to network. Oh my God, CNN had words of very, very bad translators. You couldn't understand that guy. Fox had couldn't understand. The level was off. MSNBC kind of had the best.
To be completely honest, I understand the English language perfectly, but Vice President Biden does not speak clearly. I'm not a doctor like his wife.
All right, I'm just kidding. That wasn't MSNBC. But it was... And he just stood there and just hammered back. He did 57 minutes of questions, 18 random reporter questions, including... BBC, ABC, and I think CNN. Biden did 27 minutes, in a much nicer stage, I should say. He really had compared to the hot tent that that Putin had, that was, it was actually quite impressive.
I don't think it was that bad.
He had 6 planned questions, and he started off with this.
I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So
so spontaneous.
Yeah, they gave me a list.
Yeah, very nice.
It was the contrast was pathetic.
Yeah.
But Putin does this all the time. He's a guy who can go out in front of big audiences, does it in Russia, and he just takes questions.
Yeah.
And he ad libs answers. He can talk.
He's a natural.
Biden needs a script.
He's a natural podcaster. Really, I mean, he would be great at it.
He'd be really a good podcaster. Mm-hmm. But Biden's older, and let's start off. I want to start off with this. This is Jeff Zelny. I think the networks and CNN would be a good example are getting fed up with this a little bit, enough so that they're bitching. I don't know if this maybe Zelny will be taken onto the carpet after this. This bitching of 27 seconds of complaining, I don't know. It sounds right.
Well, before getting on a plane, as you know, all of the really images and the narrative from this summit is set, he wanted to take that off the table. But we have seen President Biden do that frequently. What we've not seen him do is answer questions like that without his aides screaming at him to stop. I have never seen a president covering the last 4 of them who is so protected by his aides in terms of often not wanting him to answer some questions.
I wonder why. It's this guy, wrong answer, wrong reporting. Go sit over there with the lady who did Bitcoin for poor black people. You're off.
We'll see. He's one of their main correspondents. And he is complaining. And so I have some, you know, a few of the clips. I got the clip where he blows up. This is a hard clip to listen to because it's just poorly mic'd.
Hard to hear, yeah.
So Biden's leaving, and Biden is of this sort. He doesn't have a lot of
mental faculties.
Well, besides that, we know that. What's it called? Control, urge control. There's some. It's a term.
Tourette's.
Where you can't control yourself. You can't just say to yourself, "I'm going into the other room."
Impulse control.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be...
Impulse control.
Impulse control. He has no impulse control, which must drive these people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So some reporter will shout something out that triggers him.
Yeah, that's my favorite bit.
Unfortunately, it's never mic'd well. This is all like the Veritas miking, yeah, which you hate.
Mm-hmm, I do.
And here's an example where somebody yells something at him about, you know, Putin didn't respond the way you thought he would, or what was the deal? Some female reporter felt that, she felt gypped. And so she yells something at Biden as he's leaving, and this is what happens.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he'll change his behavior. What the hell? What do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident?
I said,
let's get it straight. I said, what will change their behavior is if the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. Just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
Right, you don't now understand that in your own business.
It's a summit with China.
We need to move. Quickly, let's go. Quickly, cool.
What was her name?
I don't know.
Because I'd like to follow her because she may be get kicked off the whole deal.
Oh, she'll be kicked off.
And
but then you heard the rousting women. There's two or three of them. Let's go, people.
And
they roust everybody and get them out of there.
On the tarmac before departing, the president said, and I'm sure there's a clip of it, I don't have it, "I owe my last questioner an apology," the president told reporters on the tarmac as he readied to board Air Force One.
I'm sorry.
"I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with the last answer I gave." Wow. That's really interesting. I mean, that seems...
Yeah, well, he's lost his... I mean, he almost... Here's an example where in 16... These are all short clips except for one. Here's where he says, he almost says Trump out of the blue. He's got Trump on his mind.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference. He talked about the need for us to be able to have some kind of modus operandi where we dealt with making sure the Arctic was, in fact, a free zone.
Now, there were a couple of good gaffes. I caught this one.
"We don't know. We haven't had access to the laboratories to determine whether or not..." I have not reached a conclusion because our intelligence community is not certain yet. Mm-hmm. "Whether or not this was a consequence of from the marketplace of a bat and, you know, interfacing with animals in the environment that caused this
so scientific, a bat interfacing with animals of the
COVID-19, or whether it was an experiment gone awry in a laboratory. It's important to know that."
Interesting. He chooses not to say something escaped from a lab, accident in the lab. No, he says an experiment gone awry. Remember, you have to listen to old people and children and drunk people.
COVID-19, or whether it was an experiment gone awry in a laboratory. It's important to know the answer to that because we have to have access. We have to build a system whereby we can know when we see another transparent lack of transparency might produce another vaccine. Another pandemic. Ah, access.
That's what you were waiting for.
He came so close. It wasn't the best, but at least he came close.
Yeah. Well, here is the... this was something that... I think this was just before the meeting with Putin.
Putin.
And he mixes up Syria and Libya. Now, what's weird about it is at some point he changes and realizes it's Syria that he's trying to talk about, not Libya. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with Russia.
Nothing.
And so he says Syria again. And then out of the blue, he corrects himself and goes back to Libya like a complete idiot.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. By the way, there's places where. I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way. Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people in Libya.
Wow.
You know, is that unbelievable?
People, I mean, this has to
Where's
be.
Where's the media, by the way?
This has to be his swan song. He's over. They got to lock him up after this. They cannot have this man doing any more public anything. Faculties are gone.
Syria. That's nobody's. It's just, it was out of control with this. And then he found Syria in the conversation and switched it back.
At the very end. Wow.
So here is the only one, and this one is a kind of a gaffe. It's 11 seconds. It's a good one.
Okay.
The idea is we hold these truths self-evident, that all men and women, we haven't lived up to it completely, but we've always widened the arc of commitment.
We didn't lived it up. Hey, living it up, baby. And these truths evident self something. You know, the thing. Wow. So embarrassing. We look like a weak cuck on the international stage. Congratulations, America. You let that happen. Now,
as far as the American public is concerned, they don't know this happened.
Correct. There was really no reporting because it was such a fail on every single front. There was not all you needed was a soundbite. The best soundbites were reporters asking questions. You know, so they had a lot of that. Oh, look, I'm so brave. I'm asking this question. But nothing. It was a complete dud.
And the guy can't even be himself when he comes out. That clip that you played, which I did not catch, where he says, well, I have a list of people I can ask for questions because that's what they tell me
to do. What they gave me. They gave me
What is he, like a baby and his mommy told him what to do or tells him what to do or... You know, spoon feeds him. It's like a spoon feeding kind of an image I keep coming up with here. It's like this is not a president.
Well, something is up. And we actually were kicking each other's shins after the show, last show, that we forgot to bring up what's going on with Vice President Kamala Harris. The way I see things, Joe has got to go. He was supposed to go. I think he's in there too long. Kamala can't stand it. She can't stand it. She's answering stupid-ass questions about the border. Very annoying to her. And she's on the takedown path. You want to hear this? Unless you have something else, you want to hear the CNN takedown clip?
No, I think we're good with the Biden-Putin meeting.
Yeah. This is... So there's a little quick supercut, I think, that they played. Of her not answering the question very well about going to the border, and then it's just, whoa.
We've been to the border. We've been...
Remember, this is CNN. They're supposed to be completely pro this White House, but they are anti-Kamala.
We've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe.
Listen, I've been to the border before. I will go again. But when I'm in Guatemala... dealing with root causes, I think we should have a conversation about what's going on in Guatemala.
or so. Okay. Can you commit right now that you will indeed visit the U.S.-Mexico border, and will you do it soon?
Jeremy, let me tell you something. But yes, I will. And I have before.
I said I'm going to go to the border. And I,
when are you going to the border, Vice President?
The administration has asked... I'm not finished. I've said I'm going to the border.
It's just a little cringeworthy. And I know that her allies in the White House and elsewhere are watching it and just kind of wondering what is going on. How poorly did this go for her in her first foray onto the world stage?
Well, it certainly didn't go the way the White House wanted it to go. And again, immigration, as you mentioned, Heavy, is a hot potato no one wants to touch. And Harris has been dealt it, and so she has to handle now what Biden had to handle when he was VP, which is relationships with the Northern Triangle. And of course, Republicans have been trying to clump that in with the border and the border situation and attacking her on that. Now, did the trip go the way they wanted? No. In 2024, 2028, whenever, if she decides to run, are people going to remember this trip? I don't really think so.
Yeah, that's definitely true. This is one event, maybe it's the first, but it's one. But there are some broader questions about is this part of a pattern? I mean, even in the campaign, she struggled with press interviews, had some major flip-flops on the campaign trail. I mean, is this part of a pattern for her? And should it be troubling to her advisors and allies and people who want her to succeed that it's still happening even as vice president?
Part of a pattern. What is this? What is this with CNN? I think there's problems afoot.
I think so too. And I'm wondering what the real basis for it is. I did a bunch of research on her and all the legislation, everything she was involved in. And if you start really looking into her, it was the kind of complaints that came up during the debates that were brought up by Tulsi. Mm. She's a hard ass when it comes to everything.
Right.
She's a district attorney with a cop's mentality.
Mm.
And this is not what the Democrats want at this point. I mean, she'd be better off as a Republican, a hard ass Republican than a hard ass Democrat. And I think that they've decided that maybe because Joe is getting worse. Mm-hmm. Well, from our perspective,
he's actually hanging in much better than I thought he would, to be fair about it.
Yeah, they're handling him well.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to, I don't think they want her. She's not presentable. She's not a good face for the Democrat Party, even though she's multi-culti. And she also has that background as her parents, back Jamaica. In history, slave Jamaica. Owners.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues.
But what
can
they do? I mean, so.
They have to kill her.
Yeah, because I was looking.
You brought this up yes. In so far as. The plane accident that almost happened already.
Yeah, she had her plane had to turn around. Oops, on the way to Guatemala. That is definitely a warning. And we actually talked about that after the show. Didn't even bring it up on the show. Stupid.
No, we didn't talk about it on the show. We talked about it after the show. And when you brought that up, I think, well, the pilots, you know, got lucky. And I'm not advocating they should do this. I'm saying that it's not unusual for this to have had to happen to people. We talk about it on the show all the time, the economic hitman analysis we used to do, that people get killed for political purposes, and it happens all the time.
Yes.
And if I was her, I'd be very careful about our normal, be careful about hot tubs and small aircraft and helicopters.
No kayaking in any water around
no
D.C.
No kayaking stay, yes. Or do what Trump did. I mean, they would love to have done that. They would like to have off Trump, but. He had his own set of bodyguards. No one liked to talk about it, but he had his own set that complemented the Secret Service. Yes. So he was very careful. She needs to be this way too, because I don't know what else they can do. They can find a scandal. I don't know that you can find a scandal with her. She's just a good, religious Oakland girl. I don't think she's presentable as a candidate, but if Joe dies, you know, then she becomes an incumbent. It makes a big difference.
I'm trying to figure out how, without killing her, because that's all, it's a little happier thought. If Joe becomes incapacitated, then she could be the acting president. She wouldn't become
the 25th Amendment comes into the picture.
Yes.
But let's go back to the basics. They don't want her.
Right. So I'm just thinking, is there another way to get rid of her or to force her hand so they can bring in, you know, Hillary, I guess.
No, they would not Hillary.
I don't know who
they're going to would bring in the one they wanted originally, which was Amy Klobuchar.
Wow. Back to my favorite.
Yeah, the old stapler thrower.
No, I liked it when they didn't bring her a fork for her salad and she just grabbed a comb. Badass.
Oh, yeah.
Badass.
Oh, what a disgusting badass woman.
Badass. Oh, okay. Well, and even MSNBC, you know, but there's also all kinds of, I mean, you even hear CNN talking kind of about her team on her side, her fans.
Yeah, like she's got her own posse.
Or that she's been isolated. It's the way I read it.
That could be. Isolated. Yeah, she's been marginalized is the word we'd like to use.
Yes, marginalized.
Like to use.
Well, they started by not letting her move into the vice president's house because, yeah, whatever. Some bull crap. Right. She was mad about that. There was one thing that came out of this entire ordeal was something President Biden said that I was like, holy crap, I could have understood this. I could have realized what this was. And he let it slip, and there's, in fact, a fact sheet about it on whitehouse.gov, which I had missed. Let me play this little clip here.
We also made a momentous commitment at the G7 to help meet more than $40 trillion need that exists for infrastructure in the developing world. I put forward an idea that was called, we named the Build Back Better World Partnership, which is, we're calling it the B3W. The point is that what's happening is that China has its Belt and Road Initiative, and we think that there's a much more equitable way to provide for the needs of countries around the world. And so it's a values-driven, high-standard, transparent financing mechanism we're going to provide and support projects in four key areas: climate, health, digital technology, and gender equity.
That's four.
And we believe that will not only...
Did he just say three and it turned out to be four? Hold on.
Standard transparent financing mechanism we're going to provide and support projects in four key areas.
Oh, four. No, climate, I say four.
Health, digital technology, and gender equity. And we believe that will be good for the countries, but it'll be good for the entire world and represent values that our democracies represent and not autocratic lack of values.
So what we identified in October of 2020 is, in fact, the B3W partnership fact sheet from the White House. President Biden and G7 leaders launch Build Back Better World Partnership. Which he just said, it's not in this press release, by the way, but he just says that's our counter to the Belt and Road Initiative. Now, that's an eye-opener, and that's something that should be reported on. I'm like, holy shit. So if you read this thing, released on June 12th, the United States is rallying the world's democracies to deliver for our people, meet the world's biggest challenges, and demonstrate our shared values. Today, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Build Back Better World, an affirmative initiative for meeting the tremendous infrastructure needs of low and middle income countries.
What about the infrastructure needs of fixing Highway 80's potholes?
Well, you are a low income county. He said countries, but President Biden and G7 partners agreed to launch the bold new global infrastructure initiative, Build Back Better World. B3W, a values-driven, high-standard, and transparent infrastructure partnership led by major democracies to help narrow the 40-plus trillion infrastructure need in the developing world, which has been exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. And so it gets worse. Through B3W, the G7 and other like-minded partners will coordinate in mobilizing private sector capital in four areas of focus. And there it is: climate, health, security, digital technology, and gender equity and equality, with catalytic investments from our respective development finance institutions. Hello, economic hitmen. In you go. This is really evil. It really is. Let me, and now they spell it all out. What they don't talk about, interestingly, so they break down these values. So it's values driven, good governance, strong standards, climate friendly, strong strategic partnerships, mobilize private capital through development finance. Mobilize. Let me just read this. This is where your money is flying out the door. Status quo funding and financing approaches are inadequate to address the tremendous infrastructure gap in low and middle income countries. We are committed to augmenting the development finance tools at our disposal to support and catalyze a significant increase in private capital to address infrastructure needs. Infrastructure investment by a responsible and market-driven private sector, paired with high standards and transparency in public funding, is crucial for long-run development. This is the theft. This is it. 40-plus trillion. There's your theft. It's going to be taken from us. Interestingly enough, nothing about equity or equality. They just throw that shit in there, I guess, in the press release.
Well, gender equality.
Yeah. This is... Who knew? They were all bullshitting us. No one was honest about it. They kept saying, build back better. He stole it. They stole it. I got it first. We have the medleys. And it turns out, oh, no. This was the plan all along. The Build Back Better World Partnership. Well, congratulations, world.
For a better life beyond your freedom, build back better. For someone else.
That's our jingle.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's so big. Can they do a proper jingle? No. Do they ever listen to us? No. With Obama, it was trains good, planes bad. See something, say something. We have them all. We are the jingle makers to policymakers.
I don't get it.
It's sad. Sad.
Well.
Yes.
Somehow Kamala is in the way.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to look at her as in a different light. The problem with, I like her, but only from a policy perspective. She's still not presentable. She's got a look on her face.
You like her policies? What are you talking about?
I think that her hard-ass approach to crime is good. It's a good policy. I don't have a problem with it. She's not the one that lets you go shoplift everything out of Walgreens and CVS in San Francisco. Yeah, just load up. There's videos of people just coming in with bags,
I know.
Stuff and walking out the door.
It's happening here too. It's happening in Austin too. I saw it with my own eyes at CVS.
Yeah.
And just let him go. All right, whatever. Yeah.
That's not, she wouldn't put up with that.
So you like her policy as a prosecutor, not as,
I like her hard ass law and order vision of things. Yes. And if you look at her, I mean, she did a couple of things that are pretty sketchy. Tulsi called her out. We have the clips for some shit that she did, which is really negative, bad, it seems. But then I started thinking about those exact examples. I'm thinking, well, maybe there was a good reason at the time if you knew the other side of the story, which we never got. And so I don't know. I think she's just not a good Democrat in technically. And I think that's where they would like to, you know, move her out of the way, put Amy in there, who's perfect.
I think she's just power hungry and wants to be president, and I think that she will do anything she can, including
I see that too,
including going hey Joe
I can see, I think there's a possibility of that, which would be the dark side of Kamala. Yeah. And I would not be surprised by either one. I would be not surprised. But the point is, it's a mystery, and she's not somebody that the party wants in there at all. She's not presentable. She's got a look on her face, and she's got that stupid cackle. She's got a lot of problems. My pretty.
Yeah, she's a problem.
So they're going to do something. I'm sure there's something skeleton in the closet that they can dig up.
No, I think you're right. I think elimination is the way to go.
Yeah,
but they got to time
that
it.
Would take the, time the CIA it. Would have to hate her because it's all there, or the FBI, one of the two. Those are the remember the FBI guys that go into that meet with that guy that was related to the Sarnoff brothers. They meet him and they just shoot him in his home and then leave.
No,
remember that?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Sarnoff?
The guys at the Boston Bombers.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
During the investigation of those guys, they had this meeting with some poor schlub.
Yeah.
And they just gunned him down.
Yeah. In the interrogation room.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Well, I was at his, no, I think it was at his house.
No.
You don't want blood in the interrogation room. That's no good.
Speaking of, I almost got it right. I knew it was coming. I got the terminology wrong. I thought that the phrase that pays for the next couple of months would be the cruel summer. Now, I didn't realize that there's actually a TV show called Cruel Summer. So, of course, the people who write the scripts couldn't use that. So I said, hey, it's going to get hot. It's going to get bad. People are going to be killing each other. They're going to call it the cruel summer. I was close.
An increasing number of shootings across the country foreshadows a potentially violent summer.
Warned of a violent summer.
Could be heading into a violent summer.
Preparing for what is becoming a violent summer already.
I mean, we're heading into a pretty violent summer.
Yeah, he's correct. It's going to be a violent summer.
Law enforcement now bracing for what some are calling a long, hot, violent, and bloody summer.
We've got the details as experts warn this summer could be especially violent.
You know, when the mainstream media does this, then you got to look out because something's happening.
I think, you know, they blew it. Violent summer is not a really good phrase, but bloody summer.
Bloody,
great.
Yes. Well, could we come up with an even better one as the Curry Dvorak Consulting Group?
Summer of death.
Summer, bloody summer.
A bloody summer doom. I mean, there's only a few words we can throw in there.
We'll work on it. We'll talk about it the next meeting.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
And we do have a few people to thank for show, what's it, 1356.
1356, baby.
Yep. And we'll start with, let me move this mic to, I got to move the mic more. Hang on. Ken.
Moving the mic. Oh, you okay there?
Barely.
Screwed on tight, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, Ken, what do you pronounce this?
Let's see.
Lazek.
I would say Lazek.
Lazek or something.
Kenny boy. Ken
from Scottsdale. Hot in Scottsdale as we speak.
Violently hot.
Play violent and hot. Bloody. Deborah in Winnipeg, Manitoba. 111.33. I'm surprised she can even get a note out. But she did. She actually wrote a little card. I'm gonna read from the card. For all your hard work and dedication to the facts. Please de-douche me. Okay.
You've been de-douched.
Always happy to throw out a de-douching.
Rex Costello, $111.11. Look for, while I'm reading these, look for the Father's Day call-outs because it's open donation for Father's Day. So they can show up anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Dame Lisa.
All right.
Dame Lisa Stradler of Universes in Chicago, and she does have a Father's Day and birthday to her best husband in the universe, Paul.
Thank you for our three wonderful and crazy human resources and for hitting me in the mouth. The family that No Agenda's together stays together.
Anonymous from Parts Unknown says thanks, $100. Francis Sheehy in Worcester, Massachusetts, that's $100. Sir Chris Gray of the Isle of Wight. Wow.
Yeah.
Covington, Louisiana. You know, that's not in the UK. It's owned by the Queen.
Yes, I've been there. I've flown there many times. It's a fabulous little flight.
It comes in from Covington, Louisiana, but still, the Isle of Wight is what he's claiming.
Yeah, we know what he's
John
doing.
Carney in Alpharetta, Georgia, 86-12.
And this brings him to knighthood. He would like to be called Sir Dan the Quiet Man, and he's requesting anti-gin, A-N-T-Y, for the round table. I shit you not, he says, the stuff is made with wood ants.
What?
Yeah, gin made of wood ants. Anti-gin. I got ants.
Oh, my God.
We need to try this product.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Sir Herb Lamb, Duke of the Deep South in Sugar Hill, Georgia, 8008. And he says, Happy Father's Day. And he liked to call his son Max out as a douchebag.
Douchebag.
That's what you do.
Matt McCoy in Burleson, Texas, 7777. Gavin and Dana in Winnipeg, Manitoba,
Yes, and that's another Father's Day to Bobby Desjarlais, I think, from Gavin and Diana in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Says it was 6666. Samuel, 5940 in Indianapolis, Indiana.
He wants a proper de-douching?
You've been de-douched.
And we'll do a jobs karma at the end for everybody. You're included in that.
Dakota Walker in Redondo Beach, 5693. Another birthday. Sir Bebop, Night of the Frozen Tundra, 5555. I'm not seeing any. I see more Father's Day. Let's get him up on the next show. Daniel Mariano in Pflugerville.
Oh, there you go. Pflugerville. Home of the rich and famous.
5510. Sir Chris Wap Caplitz of the Rolling Bones
and he
in
says,
Lancaster, Ontario.
Happy Father's Day to my father, Fritz, and my father-in-law, Brian. Stay safe 55. With Jesus or go F yourselves.
5510. Richard Futter in London, 5510. Sir Kilgore, Trout of the Dude's Name Ben or Tim. His name Tim.
You call me Tim for
in
sure.
Woodstock, Ontario, 5510.
That's funny.
Paul Knab or Knab, one of the two, from Pickering, Ontario.
Do you notice how many Scandinavians we have
today?
It's more than normal. It really
is.
It is.
Why?
Because we're keeping them sane. They're locked up like dogs.
Yeah, they are. It's pathetic. Sir Thomas Kilbred Braid Jr. in Waco. Texas,
Waco. Home to the stars.
Cecil Morgan, 5133. Jessica Young, 50. The following people are $50 donors. Name and location. Jessica Young in Yuba City. Look out for the
I got him.
Fathers. Jamie Hilliard in Newman, Georgia. Jennifer Christensen in Spicewood, Texas.
And says happy
David
birthday. Hold on, Jennifer Christensen. Happy birthday to my smoking hot hubby, Cody. He turns 36 on the 17th.
David Shalona in Madisonville, Louisiana. Jordan Detmer in Phillipsburg, Kansas. Another birthday.
33rd birthday. There you go.
Another 33rd birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Ballou in Louisville, Kentucky. Paul Contremus in Westwood, Massachusetts. Alex Brewer in Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He says you're once and future king. Sir Chris Lewinsky in Sherwood Park, Alberta. Tony Smith in Fort Worth, Texas. Kevin Dills, Sir Kevin, in Huntersville, North Carolina. Brian Henderson in Indianapolis, Indiana. Mary LaBruyere in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. Displaced Texan, who's displaced. John Camp in Antlers, Oklahoma. And Daniel Galloway, Sir Daniel, I think, in Marietta, Georgia. Those are the people that produced and helped us with show 1356.
Outstanding list, and nice to see the love for the dads. That's always good. And of course, we thank you for participating in the experiment we started almost 14 years ago. But we said, you know what? If you get any value out of this show, just put a number to it, send it back to us, make it meaningful to you. And we're still here and still continuing, as that has now expanded to not just treasure, but time and talent as well. And thank you to everybody who came in under $50. We do that so that you can be assured it's anonymous. And also there's a number of monthly and weekly donations and show donations you can be a part of. Those are much lower, but they are sustaining and they help a lot. Please check out our donation page for details.
Dvorak.org.
/NA.
And as promised, massive jobs karma.
Jobs.
You've got karma.
And a nice list of birthdays as well today. It is the 17th of June. Lorraine says happy birthday to her son Ashton, who turned 12 on the 14th. Joe Gall, happy birthday to her best pal, Mike Kowalsik, 33 on the 14th. Sir Stinkfinger to his face-melting hot wife, Femke, that's today. Clinton S. turns 33 today as well. Jennifer Christensen, happy birthday to her smoking hot hubby, Cody, 36 today. Jenna D'Amico says happy birthday to Jen Jones, who'll be celebrating tomorrow. Baronet dude named Ben, 35 on the 19th. Dame Lisa to the best husband in the universe, Paul, celebrating on the 20th. Sir Mark of Menworth Hills to his birthday girl, Tracy Goodband, who turns 50 on the 20th. Congratulations. Anonymous to his smoking hot wife, Monkey Boss of Miami on the 20th. Jordan Detmer, I think, turns 33 today. And Dakota Walker celebrates a half birthday. We say happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's nice today. We got knights, we got title changes, we got Sir Julian becoming a baron today, so we congratulate him and thank him very much for his support of the No Agenda Show and another additional $1,000. It is very much appreciated. Now we have 4 knights to take care of and to induct into our round table today. So better get the quad, the quad blade, yes. Chris Burge, Sean McCall, Huska Daffer, and John Carney. All of you, step up here on the podium. I'm very happy to have you here as you're about to join that exclusive club of the No Agenda Knights and Dames, and I hereby pronunciate the Sir Chris Burge, Sir Sean of LibertyManiacs.com, Sir Knight Hust Cadaver, and Sir Dan the Quiet Man. Gentlemen, for you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay. We've got Yummy Friska Seeple Salt and Nachlcast. We got Anti-Gin. We got Beer and Blunts. We got Bong Hits and Bourbon, Geishas and Vodka, Geishas and Sake, Vodka and Vanilla, Breast Milk and Pablum, Ginger Ale and Gerbils. Matt, you'll probably be very happy with the mutton and mead that we have displayed. As always, people always ask for these crazy things, but they always just kind of go to mutton and mead. It's crazy. And please stop by noagendanation.com/ring so Eric the Shill can get your information, send out that handsome ring that we have for you, along with your sealing wax so you can make it official, and of course your certificate. And thank you for producing the best podcast in the universe.
No Agenda. We
NoAgendaMeetups.com is your connection to small amygdalas and other fun people to hang out with. It's a very successful program that we've been doing meetups for a long time, but really in this organized fashion has just been so great with the website. And here's some of the meetups you can attend. Hang out with fellow inhabitants of Gitmo Nation in Memphis, Tennessee. The Dive Bar Douchebag Meetup at 5:30 today. That's at Lamplighter Lounge. Charlotte's Thursday will be held at 7 tonight. That's at Ed's Tavern. Tomorrow, the Tacoma Lighting and Thunder Meetup, 6 o'clock at McManaman's in Tacoma. Also on Friday, West Metro Denver Meetup, the podcast producers pondering in the park. It's in the park, Weaver Hollow Park and Pool at 6 p.m. Then we have also Friday, Peterborough, Ontario Cottage Country Start of the Summer Meetup, 6:33. It doesn't say where that is, but it is organized by Sir Richard, Knight of the Quarthus. On Saturday, in the morning, Slaves and Coffee, 9:33 a.m. Central Time in Fort Worth, Texas at Annie's Pub. NA Local 512, bringing in the summer at Docks. That's at 1 o'clock, Docks Backyard, Sunset Valley, Texas. That's our Austin meetup. Sir Scott Barron of the NA Armory. I don't think I'll be able to make it, unfortunately, because we're just in the middle of this moving and everything, and it's a lot to do. I will try. Also on Saturday, Local 406, the People's Republic of Missoula, Montana at the Trough, Stranger Than Fiction, monthly decompression session in Chicago at Reggie's. That's also on Saturday, along with the flight of the No Agenda 017, Steelcraft Long Beach, California, South Dublin Under the Radar Meetup number 1, 2 p.m. Irish Standard Time. And you need to contact the organizer for details, because I think that's still illegal. Barcelona, Spain Meetup, 6 o'clock Central European Time. That'll be Sir Kevin of the Irrigated Fields of Rice on Saturday. And on Monday, Summer Solstice in Minneapolis at 6 o'clock. Route 47 Pub and Grub, Teresa is organizing. We've got a lot more rounding out the month. The 26th, actually, we have Northern Arizona, San Francisco, actually Oakland, Tampa Bay, and North Arizona, and a full slate for July. You definitely need to check at least one of these out. Go to noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, here's a thought. Start one yourself. Noagendameetups.com. No Agenda Meetups. It's like a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days.
Bum, bum, bum.
You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell lame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
How about, how are you on the ISO front today?
None.
None? Shoot. I always count on you at least having one that's usable. All right, let me see. I have three.
Cars and planes are destroying the planet. If you don't take the train, you're a monster. Thank you.
Too long.
I like it, though.
Yeah, how about...
Yeah, blame Bitcoin for everything.
What?
I'll play it again for you.
Yeah, blame Bitcoin for everything.
Blame Bitcoin for everything. I think this is the one. I think you'll like this one.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll fight you naked.
That's Brett Weinstein's wife. She says, I'll fight you naked.
Yeah, she's a fire plug, that woman.
Oh, really?
Hi, this is Heather. I'm talking on the podcast because I'm an academic. And is it right?
That's my impression of her. She's not a fight. We've mocked her before.
Oh, well, then I'm.
You must change your tune.
I guess my mock memory is not up to par.
Change your tune on that woman.
So I've got a clip. I wanted to just bitch about the Juneteenth holiday.
Ah, okay. That's very unpolitically correct of you.
I know. I've got to have my reasons.
All right.
Explain
back
them.
In this country, the U.S. Congress moved to give final approval to making Juneteenth a federal holiday, marking the official end of slavery. The last black slaves in Texas learned they were free on June 19, 1865. Texas Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee spoke before today's vote in the U.S. House of Representatives.
What I see here today is racial divide. Crumbling, being crushed this day under a momentous vote that brings together people who understand the value of freedom. And that is what Juneteenth is all about.
In all, 47 states already recognize Juneteenth. It would become the 12th federal holiday in the U.S. once President Biden signs it into law.
Okay.
All right. I never heard of Juneteenth when I was in school. This is new.
Yes.
But then again, I looked it up. I did some research on the using the engrams and all the rest. And yeah, they tried to promote it as a big deal in the 60s for a little bit, never caught on. And then this is nonsense. It's not the official end of slavery. It's the official day that some guys that didn't know it was over. This is like the Japanese soldiers in Okinawa or in the trees in some various islands around the world thinking the war's still going on. It's not the official end when you finally bring them down from the trees.
So he's saying Juneteenth is really celebrating dummies who didn't know it was over?
I'm not. You said it.
You set me up. No, you know, I think that this came from this modern version of this came from the 1619 Project. I think that's kind of what got it going, because they rewrote a lot of history of the United States. Not that anything was necessarily untrue, but they really made it seem like these were
the day the Emancipation Proclamation was signed would be the day you'd choose.
I agree. Yes.
But no, it's a Republican, it's a, you know, Lincoln. Lincoln's bad.
Oh, that's why. I see.
So you can't associate Lincoln. It's got to be something completely separate. So you take these you said it, the dummies in Texas.
Yeah.
What? Now, I also think that this is being pushed because something you said, that I think you may or may not have been flippant, or I think it was you. It could have been anybody. Thinking they want to make the George Floyd holiday.
Oh no! Yes. This actually, Mo thought that they would take Memorial Day and try and shoehorn George Floyd into that, but it makes total sense for this to become the George Floydinth, or whatever they're going to call it, George Floyd holiday, or yeah.
So they're going to turn this so the Juneteenth pushes that off the table because now we go, oh well, you got your holiday and it's this. And it is an insult. If they want to celebrate the end of slavery, they should celebrate the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. They already took Lincoln's birthday away as a holiday.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't like this holiday. I think it's and it's not because of any racism. It's because it's stupid.
Yeah. The history of it, it is a weird thing to celebrate. I agree. It's like, why? What sense does that make?
And did you ever hear about this 10 years ago?
No.
When they came up with Martin Luther King holiday,
but that's because
everybody knew Martin Luther King. It wasn't like some obscure event that all of a sudden came into the fore.
I mean, I'd prefer Malcolm X's birthday as a national holiday over.
Yeah, well, that's never going to happen.
I know. All too right. bad.
That's my complaint. Now I do have a couple other little shorties if you want to hear.
Yeah, let's take us out on a high note.
A high note?
Yeah.
Oh man. This
is downer shit, man.
Offshore drill. Well,
and
a high note
that's it. And there's nothing.
There's no I note here.
See, Brushwood was right. We just bitch about things and just go.
Here's there's student loans forgiven. This is another one of these dubious stories.
Oh, I didn't know there was an update on this.
The Biden administration has forgiven 18,000 student loans for people who attended a now defunct for-profit chain of schools. They say ITT Technical Institute made exaggerated claims about graduates finding jobs. Today's move clears $500 million in debt, but more than 100,000 similar claims remain.
Hold on a second. First of all, ITT, is this an Indian outfit?
No, it's funny though. No, you remember ITT, they had nothing but TV ads all over the place. They look pretty legit.
Oh, it's a long time ago.
They're going to teach you coding and they're going to teach you how to, you know, use a soldering iron.
Yes, they were. Oh, but they're talking 90s. This is a long time ago. They were still around?
I don't know when they folded.
There was something else in here that really irks me about this forgiveness. I don't know why these guys and girls get special treatment. If I hear this bit.
Schools. They say ITT Technical Institute made exaggerated claims about graduates finding jobs.
That's everybody.
That's every single university in the United States makes exaggerated claims.
Make exaggerated claims.
So this is jurisprudence. I think this can be used. I think anyone can go and say, excuse me, here's the claims. Look at the picture of me successful. That's what they promised me, but no.
Oh.
And who and from what fund does that come? And under what law or rule or how does that work? All right.
Well, that's another. It brings us to another clip.
Okay.
Under what rule does it, I guess Biden shutting down offshore drilling? Here's the offshore drilling update where Biden overextended his. You know, his executive order powers.
The U.S. Interior Department is reviewing a federal court order to resume auctioning leases for oil and gas drilling offshore and on federal lands. President Biden suspended new leases in January. A judge in Louisiana ruled Tuesday that the president likely exceeded his authority.
Yeah. Well, this is unfortunately what most people think they want, is they want the federal government to take care of everything. Federal police, federal everything.
Yeah.
Well, good luck trying that in Texas. Ha! Where the governor has signed, as per September 1st of this year, a constitutional carry, or as the left-wing newspapers say, permitless. That's
is that the
way
they're pretty, pretty
yeah, yeah, permitless. Yes, permitless carry.
No. I mean, out here we read that now you don't need a permit or training. Just you buy a gun just everywhere.
That's correct.
There's a vending machine. You can pick up a Ruger.
Oh, my God. Great idea. I think I will get one going. That would be a great business. Just have a Ruger vending machine on the street.
I think so, too.
At the airport. On your way out, though, of course.
At the airport. Perfect.
You know, you can get those. You can get the iPod. You can get a, you know, extra battery pack and a blow-up pillow. And there's a Ruger. And here's a 9 mil. It's perfect. That's a good idea. All right. Another exit strategy is in the works. We may not even return Thursday. But in case we
somehow I think we will.
I have a feeling we won't have the vending machine business set up yet. But I'll talk to the former New York banker about it. He likes it. He likes ideas like that. He loves guns. And for a little bit longer, I am coming to you from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the capital of the Drone Star State, Austin, Texas. For those of you who are looking for it on one of those nifty governmental maps, just go to the FEMA region map and you'll see we're in number 6. Where we're on the brink of a brownout or rolling blackout. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, no rolling blackouts here yet. They can't come up with a new scam to do it. I'm John C. Dvorak.
End of show mixes from Tom Starkweather, Rolando Gonzalez. Coming up next on NoAgendaStream.com. Abs in a six-pack with Sir Seatsitter. We will gladly see you on Thursday, vending machine or not. Until then, remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. And adios, mofos! And such.
I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the facts.
You don't understand that in your own business.
I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the facts.
You don't understand that in your own business.
Come on, quickly, let's go.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
Everybody on the stage, I do believe.
Y'all been holding it down. You've been doing what needs to get done. And it ain't easy. You make it look easy, but I know it's not.
Computer, is Kamala Harris drunk?
You have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala.
The border.
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 Let's just back up, because here's the thing.
This whole thing about the border, I don't understand the point that you're making. I want to be clear.
What do you want to know?
Look, it really is a very dangerous journey. It can be awful for the people that undertake it, and you want to kind of not create an incentive structure that creates more of traffic in these corridors that can be so dangerous.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe.
Biden administration's immigration policy writ large is not working. It's wrong and it's inhumane.
That's what I asked Kamala. Ask Kamala to be the last voice in the room.
Best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll fight you naked.